And Ward, Dr. Ward, got it all set.
Yeah.
Good evening. Today is September 11, 2012, and the time is 6:09 PM. And this is the Policy Instruction Personnel Student Services Committee meeting. Carlos, would you please call roll?
Chairperson Leticia Gonzalez.
Here.
Monica Casales.
Here.
Sergio Coronado.
Here.
And, yes.
Good Chair.
Dr. Murphy.
Chairperson Gonzalez, committee members and audience, thank you for coming tonight. And I just wanted to again emphasize Saturday's dropout recovery day at 8:30 right in this room, where we're going to go out and look for those high school students who have unfortunately dropped off our rolls that are still very much available to us. Representative DeMarco will be joining us, along with several other dignitaries from City Council and Commissioner's Court. We have several people coming to join us. It's our third annual Dropout Recovery Day. We just want to make sure we invite everyone and anyone here today that wants to come for the cabinet. We'd like to participate 8:30 right here on Saturday morning. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, and I just said September 11th. Today's a moment to remember, and let's have a moment of silence for those victims and for those heroes too.
I just got back like 2 weeks ago from New York, and I had the opportunity, very fortunate, to get to see the 9/11 Memorial and the new Twin Towers. It's really moving. And one of the coolest things that is there is called the Survivor Tree. And it's a kind of, you know, just a regular sort of small tree. But if everything, how on 9/11 nothing was left, that tree was left. And they dug it up, and they took it to a nursery, and that winter had a horrible winter, and the tree almost died in the nursery. But somehow they tried hard, saved it, and were able to, the next spring, dig it up, and it's back on site. It is so incredible. I mean, it's, I hate to be teared up, but, you know, it's what we're about as Americans. We survive, and it was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carlos, first agenda item, please.
Item 2A, School Health Advisory Council, presenter Mr. Escobedo and Ms. Lavis. Annual SHAC report, draw the line, respect the line curriculum program, grades 6 through 8, HIV AIDS awareness curriculum program, grades 8 through 12.
Good evening, board members, Chairperson Gonzalez. We want to thank you. We're really excited to come to you and provide you with the SHAC annual report for school year 2011-2012. The first part of the presentation will highlight some of the accomplishments that we had as a SHAC. We serve two committees within the SHAC. There's two subcommittees. One is the health and wellness, and the second one focuses strictly on the human sexuality instruction that takes place in our school district. Now today I do want to recognize some attendees. Behind us we have two ladies from the Department of Public Health. The first one is Gabby Herrera, and the second one is Ms. Randy Gutierrez. And one of the recommendations that we have, and in case you have any questions, they're the experts in the field and they'll be able to answer them. And so they are here supporting that. And also we have Mr. Buddy Aitkins from the AIDS Empowerment Group. And again, that's our second recommendation. So If there are any questions, please, at any time, feel free to ask. At this time, Ms. Joan Lattice, our chairperson, our chair for the SHAC, is going to go ahead and do the board annual report and explain in more detail what exactly has been going on throughout the school year. Thank you.
Thank you, Board President and board members, and Dr. Murphy. Thank you so much for the acknowledgement of 9/11. My sister is a survivor of 9/11 from the top floor of the second tower, so it means so much to me to hear your comments. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be the chair of the School Health Advisory. Our first slide here talks about the what the state mandate is. And as you can see, it says, the board shall establish a local school health advisory council to assist the district in ensuring that local community values and health issues are reflected in the district's health and education instruction. Essentially, SHAC is involved in the instructional time commitment for health education and overseeing any instruction relating to human sexuality. And that's stated in the education code that's listed up there. As Jose mentioned, we have two subcommittees, health and wellness, and we have human sexuality. But as a group, we have met five general sessions, and in May we have our annual retreat, which allows us to prepare what we want to work on the current school year, which is this one. Our subcommittee meetings, each of them have a chair that runs the meeting and basically keeps everything online. The health and wellness had 8 sessions, and the human sexuality had 4 sessions. If you take a look, does everybody have their report? If you take a look at page 3, you can see what our membership consists of. We really feel that we have a really good diversity in our group. We have representation from every campus. So both either on the parent side, the staff side, so we feel pretty balanced on that side. We're always looking for more people. So that's ongoing. I'll give you a minute just to look at that. Last year we recommended recess before lunch. We are very happy to say that all 5 of our campuses are participating in recess before lunch. The state says that we should look at recess and see what goes on with that. And we are really pleased with the way things have gone. We had to tweak some things at one of the campuses. There were some operational things, transition time, washing hands, and things like that. But I just talked with the principal today, and she says things are working out real smooth. So we're happy about that. So all 5 schools are doing well. And as you remember from last year, the main focus is on the benefits are more focused with instructional time when the kids come back. Also, less trips to the nurse. And less discipline problems, and more importantly, they are drinking at least the more milk. Now we're changing the menu a little bit, so that's taking a little bit of transition time with the kids getting used to the new menu. But as far as the milk, there's definitely an increase in consumption of that, so that's always wonderful. The next thing is I was invited to present at the first Children's Health Summit that was sponsored by the Paso del Norte Foundation. That was conducted last year, October 11th, 2011, at the El Paso Museum of History, Museum of Art. I did a PowerPoint. I just discussed some of the successes, some of the ways we've recruited and things like that, and how we've gotten our SHAC to keep moving forward. The attendees were parents, various school district employees from the different areas, community members, as well from across the city. So it was well received. We also learned about smart growth, the importance of that, for the health of children as well. And we also viewed the dating violence video from the county attorney's office. Last year, we took a look at our local wellness policy. And we have looked at this and looked at this and looked at this. We have strategized and we have finally reached a consensus that the most effective way for us to look at the K through 8th grade is to really to look at the coordinated school health teams and have them review what's going on in their campuses and then recommend to us what is going on and what they would like to see go on, and so that we were going to be looking at this year.
See, you put a picture of Mr. Rodriguez at the bottom. To that one?
One of the next items is our partnership with the Brain Food Foundation. We are real happy with this fundraiser. It's a healthy fundraiser. It's a 5K walk run, which promotes health, but it promotes health with families, communities, and schools all coming together. And I think that's really great. Last year, we registered 36. This year, we registered 112. So we almost tripled the numbers. It netted us $1,100, which is designated to be spent per the foundation on PE activities or equipment. And it's divided up based on the number of participants from each of the schools. The foundation is really pleased with our commitment and how they've seen us grow. So they are guaranteeing us one scholarship for $1,000 for one of our high school students. They will have to apply, but we are one of the four scholarships that they give out in our area. So we're really excited about that. They also have a shoe giveaway. I haven't gotten word that we got that yet, but I'm hoping that that's what we'll look towards. One of our schools will get shoes provided for them. So it's a great foundation. These are the type of healthy healthy fundraisers that Shaq is always looking for. And we'd like to see more of these. The next item is our brain bank breaks and activities in the classroom. These are quick 1 or 2 minute exercises, require very little space. The teachers can do it quickly. It would stimulate oxygen, and it would also refocus or energize the students. You can use it during transition time or maybe before they're taking a test just to kind of get the juice flowing. It is one of the things that has been proven to increase understanding and to improve performance. We looked at this also very methodically. We looked at purchased a few little things to kind of review. Cranium had a good game out there with different activities. We looked at we developed our own, we came up with a few. We looked on the internet and we really came to a consensus. We looked at cost, distribution, sustainability, what would be the easiest way. And we came up with the idea that we would do 36 activities from the JAM program, which is just a minute, and it is a web-based program. But what we would do is we would feature one item a week, and it would be distributed through the email system. So nobody would have to copy anything, there would be no paper, no expense in that regard. One of the things also is that the PE coaches would model the activity so that the teachers would all understand through the professional development day. So that's how we would jumpstart that. The next thing that we've accomplished in our health and wellness committee is our healthy snacks guidelines. If you take a look at page 4 in the report, if you look at it, it's both in English. One page is English, one page is Spanish. This was developed with the parents, the school nurse, the staff, the PE, health teachers, with the assistance of Adele Balesh, with the food service director, and a registered dietitian and nutritionist who is a parent. We wanted to make it easy, simple. We wanted to give them some ideas, but we also, if you take a look at the yellow section, we wanted them to see really what an ounce looked like, what the different measurements were. That's something that they could always remember, right, without specifics of a measuring cup or whatnot. The purpose of this is to distribute it to staff and to parents and to be utilized during registration. So we'll give them some ideas on what foods that they can send in also for snacks and for parties, when they have a classroom party, to kind of support that whole health issue. The other thing is we're hoping that it will also guide fundraisers. So. We have worked diligently on trying to get students involved. We have gone to the high school and we have met with the Health Occupation Students of America. We have met with the National Honor Society. We met with the future child care educators. We have had a morning meeting, a midday meeting, an afternoon meeting, much to our dismay. We are not giving up, but we have been able to kind of get their interest. We wanted, our goal was to have them have ownership and for them to come up with a project that they wanted to work on. We're planning for this year to give them a task, to maybe approach them and maybe give them registration for the Brain to Food Foundation, the Run Walk. We think maybe that would maybe help a little bit with posters or however they want to develop that, but we're going to keep on going with that. The thing that would have impressed all of us that are part of SHAC is that we bring our kids here and they hear what we talk about. Even though they're in the other room, they hear, they know what goes on. The kids are between the ages of 6 and 10. What do you say, Jose? They came and presented to SHAC, our SHAC meeting, at our meeting, and told us about the things that they like, that they like. They like seeing some of the recess before lunch that was hard to get used to, but it's getting better. That's what they said last year. They like that there were other choices on the menu. They like that the importance of recess, and it was really precious, and it really meant a lot to us. My kids even asked, when is our next meeting? So we do have SHAC little kids involved. We want to get the bigger ones going now. And then the campuses each had health fairs. Our strategy was to have them have it during the parent-teacher conferences, and it worked out brilliantly. We did it this past February. They had about 60 health, nutrition, and fitness vendors there. The problem that we had was that vendors wanted to go to more than one school. So next year, meaning this current year, school year, we're going to divide it up. Five of the campuses will do health fairs in the spring, actually in the fall, and then the other five will do them in the spring. So that will help with keeping the vendors there. And we're also looking into some alternative health fairs, some ideas on that. So that pretty much finishes up our health and wellness report. I don't know if there's any questions about that.
I have a question. The Brain to Food, how many students did we have participate in the run, and how did we recruit? Because I know we talked about that. What was that? What happened there?
One of the strategies that we use to recruit students is we use our PE and our wellness coordinators. And so what we do is they have their deadlines. They suggest starting to recruit 2 months before the actual event. They also have a curriculum in which the PE teachers can begin to get the students ready. It's an incremental physical activity. And so what we ended up doing is we post flyers, we make morning announcements. As you did see last, in 2011, we had 36 participants. This year, we had about 113 or something to that nature. And so we're continuing to devise strategies on to how to best recruit. One of the things that we're looking to do is Joan mentioned, try to involve our students at the high school and hopefully have them come up with it and devise ways on how to recruit students into it. Two of our campuses did stellar in terms of recruiting. Northwest Early College, they actually had about 37 students. Garcia Elementary had 31 students. And so in the other campuses, it was a mixture between 10 and 15. One of the things that Joan did mention is they're really impressed with the way, we've kind of took ownership of that. It fits along our lines. We're promoting healthy events for our families. I know I myself with my wife and kids, we participated in that. And it really is, I think, in El Paso, it's the only one that really focuses on the family and youth fun in terms of what they provide at the actual events. They have jumping balloons for the kids. The music is also age appropriate and things of that nature. But we are looking at ways to improve our numbers. And I think, too, what you see now is within our campuses, it also serves as sort of a competition in terms of, if this campus can recruit up to 40 students, you know, we can do it as well. And so you're starting to see a little bit of that, and that's good. It's friendly competition in order to try to promote it. You know, the entry fee is $10 per student and $20 for adult. And what they do is they give you $10 back for every application you pretty much submit. And that's why we were able to raise $1,100. So, thank you.
That finishes our health and wellness. Now I'd like to focus on our human sexuality report, and that will require board action. Our first one is we would like to expand our current human sexuality program to include Draw the Line, Respect the Line. It's grant funded by the Department of State Health Services, so it's somewhat sustainable. It's evidence-based, so it's been tested in various settings and has been proven to change behavior or delay. It's lessons our decision-making, role-play, refusal skills, and facts. It would be conducted by the Department of Public Health, so there wouldn't be any cost to the district. We are hoping to target this November, December for the 6th and 7th grade, implemented the 2012-2013 school year, of course with your approval. And then next year, next school year, do 6th, 7th, and 8th. If you take a look on page 5 and 6 of your program, of your report, there's a, we've kind of come up with this board action summary sheet. And it gives you, the left side talks about the topic and the program requested by division, the action requested, people participating in the presentation, how will it benefit the district's missions and goals. And then the right side of the box, if you go halfway down, it's who has been involved with it, how will the request be financed. And then down below is the summary. And it gives you some ideas of the lessons that will be covered. I'll give you a minute to review that. We do have the people from the Department of Public Health. And then on page 7 of your report is the resolution we're asking that you all sign, so we can move forward with this program.
I have a question. If there's some parents that don't want their students, their kids to participate, they you have a special room for them to go to? Or?
Absolutely. Each campus will coordinate how they work out to the students that bring back permission forms that parents negated them the opportunity to participate. So that's usually on a campus per campus. Now, in the student handbook, in the past couple of years too, the SHAC has also revised and looked at the permission form that's there. So that goes out at the beginning of the school year. And so the other thing that has not been mentioned is this last school year in March, we had a parent night. And we did communication three ways. We used the phone master, we used email, and we sent out flyers to our secondary parents. And we let them know which current programs are in WISD. And what they entail. And we got plenty of phone calls from parents, and they were asking a little more details regarding the program. Now, the night of the actual program, we also had the Department of Public Health is here assisting with the presentation. Parents were, they were inquiring. I think one of the things that we learned from it is the next go around for our parent session is we're looking to devise a set of surveys, a survey questions, to kind of gauge what are some of the questions that parents bring on those particular nights. And so we were able to learn. I think we had a group that was unsure at the beginning of whether or not to sign that parent permission for the presentations. But I think by the end of the night, after they received the information and they were able to express their questions and their questions were answered, I think they were more at ease. And so the parents that did join us for that evening went back and said that they were going to allow their children to be part of the presentations. So we offer various avenues in terms of these are the programs, you know, they are available at the campuses. If a parent has any questions, they can very well go and do that. The other important element that I think is important to mention is we created a team at every campus. So, you know, we did the plan A and then we did a contingency plan. What we wanted to do is we didn't want to leave the human sexuality instruction to just one person. That it didn't fall to the health teacher, it didn't fall to the nurse, it didn't fall. So what we did is we included this group of nurses, PE teachers, health teachers, our counselors, and so everybody is informed and everybody was aware as to what were the presentations that were going on within our campuses. And you can tell that the whole culture changed in terms of how responsive our campuses are, even along with our administration.
The other piece of that is, too, that if a woman would feel more comfortable speaking to a woman about something, there was someone at the campus that they could talk to, and vice versa. A male, maybe a dad would want to talk to a dad about it, I mean, another male about it. So, and the other piece about it, when we're talking about forms and whatnot, no child will be permitted in the class without a permission form. So we are requiring that, and they will
not
monitor that.
No, not down.
Correct.
Correct. There's the active parent permission form.
I have a question. Did you have any parents that wanted to sit in on the actual class? Or
We did with the child? No, we usually have a parent session first so that they know the material that will be covered. And then the parent, then the children go with their peers, really. So we haven't had anyone ask that. I'm not aware of it. Are you aware of it?
No.
No one has said that to us on a school level. So. And we want to do a little better job, too, with that, not so much on our end, but getting the information out, possibly handing out flyers in when they're being picked up at school and things like that, to get the information out, because we would really like to see more involvement from the parents, both from a SHAP standpoint as well as from these classes that we, you know, have set up for them.
That's what I was going to comment on. I think communication is probably one of the best tools that we could use, and some of the stuff that you all are doing, if we could extend that. Would be great. I don't know if y'all might want to put or have, if y'all have a section on the website where parents could go to.
We do. We actually have a website, a section on it. So, you know, I don't, we've kind of wrestled with this idea in general, you know, how do we get people involved? And we have just continued, and we were speaking about that, Madam President, about it, you know, about just, you know, the core group that we have working with it, you know, trying to just come up. We just do not leave any stone unturned. So we just try. And keep trying. So
it's difficult to get parents involved, especially after they pour their home.
So that's our first resolution. Our second one has to do with the International AIDS Empowerment Caring Through Education. That also is a grant-funded program, no cost to the district. It's informational. It's a one lesson to supplement our current curriculum, and it is conducted by the International AIDS Empowerment staff, and that would be offered to grades 8 through 12. And again, if you take a look at page 9, it gives you the board summary, and then you can give me a minute to look through that, and then page 10 and 11 is the resolution. We also have a representative, Buddy, here to talk about that. If you should have any questions specific about that.
This current year.
Right.
Did we do any of this last year, or is this going to be brand new sex education
middle school level?
Last year, one of the program that was proposed was Choice Institution Now. And one of the changes that we're going about the actual recommendation would be in this case with it's grant funded, and it's one of the stipulations that they have from the Department of State Health Services. And so, but when you look at the programs that have been implemented, I think in a couple of slides, we'll be able to show what are the current programs and what are the proposed programs.
Sorry.
That's our current, you should have in your booklet too. That's our current program and what we're proposing for the new one. We also partnered with the Department of Public Health last year for them to do some training for us. But what had happened is they lost their funding. So we went to Plan B. They had another grant and we're participating in this one. Our sixth grade, the new program would be Draw the Line, Respect the Line. Again, conducted by the Department of Health. Our seventh and eighth grade would have the current program in the district is the game plan, abstinence program, still offered. Now, remember, when we introduce a new program, we're not replacing, we're adding two so that the schools have a choice. They can choose any of them that are appropriate. We also have choices two should know. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jose, this is when they all received certification in these on that team that we created. Is that correct?
Yes, that is the team that we comprised of the nurses, counselors, and PE teachers, health teachers.
So they'd be prepared to train these courses. And then if you look at the bottom of that, it's also had that parent component you were asking about, how to talk to your children about sexuality. And that goes from young children as well on up. So. And then on the blue side, you have the new program. The middle school campuses will partner with the Department of Public Health to present the 6th through 8th grade students. This, of course, would help the teachers out because they wouldn't have to do the training. Draw the line, respect the line. And there's our implementation schedule I talked to you about. And then also, the reason yours will be in red is because these are new additions that we've had since we produced our first report in May. So we were able to get this ironed out in between May and currently. So we're looking at the International AIDS Empowerment, which is that one lesson, 1 hour class. Does that answer for you, Dr. Murphy?
Madam Chair.
Sure.
Just, I guess my concern, or are we, on the programs that we're looking at approving, are we adding those as supplements, or we're substituting them as a supplemental?
We are trying to create a list of appropriate programs for the age groups that the schools can choose. Which they're more comfortable with, they can look at. In this case, the benefit is for the Department of Public Health to conduct this particular one because they will provide their employees, they will kind of a neutral person.
But are the programs that we currently have in place and the ones that we're looking, are they overlapping or can it be an added value that we do both programs?
Well, you can answer that from a curriculum standpoint. I think that they could choose to do both, but I don't know if time permits it, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the time and the curriculum within the school year. But it could be supplemental. The one we're proposing would draw the line, respect the line. That is and I have the workbooks there, but each grade level constitutes 5 to 7 lessons. And so when you look at the big picture, draw the line, respect the line for 6th, 7th grade, the first year of implementation is pretty much going to take up the big win of the majority of the instructional time.
So my concern is, are we increasing the rigor of the curriculum or the understanding for our students, or are we, because if we do have the current program that we have in place and it was just an introduction to it and we have another program that might have an increase in rigor or an understanding for our students. I guess, are we starting to transitioning? I know it's a touchy subject, but are we starting to transitioning to, the optimal program we could have for our kids?
Well, I think anytime you look at our scope and what we're trying to accomplish, we're always trying to bring in the best programs. If you notice, this draw the line, respect the line, in so many words, it's evidence-based. And so to hopefully answer your question, we bring in the programs that that have produced the most change and have changed the attitude of students. And so we're kind of still playing with that. If it's going to be the curriculum itself and or a supplement to it, we're still in the early stages that way when you look at our SHAC committee.
The other programs are in the process of trying to get evidence-based. That's the new buzzword for grants and things like that. So this particular program that we're bringing to the board today is an evidence-based program. So it has been proven by numbers to change or delay behavior.
Okay, so we're not, I guess, recalling, I remember when I watched the video back when I was in, you know, it did, you know, open up your eyes being a student. So my concern is, are we increasing the amount of rigor, and then are we looking at, as well as that, are we looking at not, you know, evidence-based, story-based, where they're able to relate to it, and it's not just text that is more technical? And
that is correct. If I may add this, it's both, you know, the information and social skills that kids can use out there. Like you have basketball skills, you have to have social skills. And so when you even have like that metaphor, draw the line, respect the line, the kids are given like what we call a bottom line or a shield of what to do when they get, you know, in response to the social situations that kids live through. So that's the awesomeness of this kind of program also. It's not just the information, but the social skills that help our kids graduate on time, you know, with less barriers.
That's all I have for right now.
And then the 9th and 12th grade was still Navigator, Abstinence and Decision Making Program, and Choices 2 should now. And then, of course, the new program for this age group would be the Introduction of the International AIDS Empowerment.
Through the chair, I have a question about that. I appreciate the new program. That sounds really great. But, well, I guess it does. Choices 2 Should Know talks about dating and
abstinence,
responsibility, also maturity, like you said, waiting. You made a comment about that earlier. It doesn't seem like the new program, at least the way it's named, would have those types of dating tips, types of things that Choices 2 Should Know would have. So is the high school losing out on a little bit of that, or not to knock the program? The new program looks, that's very timely and good, but what about the other stuff like the dating?
This would be in addition to, this would complement the curriculum.
They give them both?
Yeah.
So even though it says new, it would also have the old?
Yes, because in most cases, Choices 2 Should Know will still be
time. Okay.
This is just to complement the discussion about AIDS.
So is there going to be enough time to cover both? Because you just said on the other one that there's not going to be enough time to cover both.
You know, we always sit down with our health teacher and the people out there and our teachers who are actually implementing the curriculum. And so, you know, like in the high school health, there's the PAPA. And so what we've been looking to do is we look at the lessons, and in some cases they're condensed because there's a whole lot of material to cover. But when you look at some of the information that's already being taught in our health class, there's already an HIV component. So this would be, additional information that the students could benefit from. So, you know, the time, I think, will be there. You know, and we continue to work with our teachers and just to make sure that, you know, we address their concerns and we try to fit it in as best as we can.
Right, especially at the high school level. So.
One of the things I probably neglected to do was review the slide that we had for due diligence, what we've done when we actually look at these programs. Jose, could you bring that one back? when we review these programs, the first thing we do when someone wants to approach us, we ask them to fill out a screening application. We look at that seriously. We then meet with the subcommittee, and they come in and they discuss it with the subcommittee. We then review, in this case with the Department of Public Health, we review their program. We dissected the information, we looked through it, we asked for a certain thing to be removed, like there's a removal of the program that deals with condom demonstration. We ask questions. We basically come to a consensus together as a group. We then vote whether we want to present this to the main shack. The shack then takes a full vote. They get a description of it and an orientation to what the materials were. And then the large shack votes on it to bring it so that it goes through all of these steps before it comes to y'all. So we kind of have done our homework in the sense of due diligence and looked at the different options and the different obstacles we could come up with. Both parents, remember, are involved, health teachers are involved, the PE staff is involved, and so on.
Madam Chair, I have a question. What's our pregnancy rate?
We actually do have stats, and that's what we shared. We shared those at the parent session. And we have statistics from the ages of 16 to 20, teenagers into early adults. We have it by zip code. And we also have the STD rates by zip code. Now, I do have that information available in hard copy. We can go over that if you'd like.
Just essentially, where are we in the county? Number one, number two, hopefully maybe lower on down the line, but what is our standing in the county for our pregnancy rate? I know there was a time when we had the highest pregnancy rate in the county, and I'm going to hope that's gone down.
We actually had invited the gal who, Debbie, who handled works for the students, but she mm-hmm. wasn't able to come tonight.
If you can't find it now, it's okay.
We have it.
You absolutely have it. If you could maybe pass it on to Dr. Murphy and it could go in the board's Friday packet, I'd be very interested in knowing where we stand.
We have the information broken down by zip code.
Okay.
So
great. I'd appreciate it.
We can provide that.
Thank you very much.
That way I don't misinform you.
Yeah, it would be better. Yeah, you look into it.
We're hoping to have the expert here.
are we going to look at the trends throughout, not just what it is currently, but at least within the past 5 years? And
you know, one of the neat things, too, about Draw the Line, Respect the Line, is there's a survey that's going to be done with the students, kind of pre and post. And some of that information, we're going to see what their perception is before the actual program is given. And it also asks a few questions as to behavior. And so in talking with the Department of Public Health, they did share with us that they're going to be able to compile that data for us and be able to, to pinpoint it to our area here. And that would be a fabulous resource for us to also be able to share.
That's what's so great about our membership, quite frankly, is that we have the experts come in. Debbie talks to us about that when she looks at things, and she's very active in whether a program will be positive for our locations. So, other questions?
Is that the final?
Just have one more slide.
Okay.
And these are just the miscellaneous activities. I spoke to you about recruitment. That's ongoing for us, both on the student level and as the parent level. The TTN webinars have been a little bit downsized because of budget cuts, so we have not been able to attend as many of those. I think Jose has attended a few of them on the webinar. the Texas School Health Advisory Council, last year when I reported, I said I put an application to be selected for the Texas School Health Advisory Council, and I'm pleased to say, yes, Tanya Tiwa made it. So I went to my first meeting yesterday as a planning meeting, so we're really on the cutting edge of what's going to be going on going forward, so I'm real pleased to be part of that. I'll have more as time goes on, you know. The planning retreat, we had that in May, and we have our goals for this coming year. How we do that is we come up with a list of topics, and then everybody gets to vote, and whatever items get the highest number of votes, that's what we start zeroing in on. But of course, if something comes up along the way that we have to address immediately, that would always happen as well. And then the last thing in your handout is our logo. We have finalized our logo. We sent this out to the students for them to come up with. Our group selected it, and if you take a look at page,
it's the very last page of the PowerPoint presentation.
The page of the PowerPoint, you'll see what we've selected as our logo. This was designed by a gal that's in the high school, Huntington High School. So.
She was in middle school about a year and a half ago when we chose it, and now we're
Vanessa Fernandez.
I'm sorry, Michelle.
And that's it. And you asked about our website. That's our last slide. All right, we're on the Kanye Tio website. All of our agendas and our meeting notes are all on there. So please feel free to look at it. And thank you very much for letting us talk to you. I cannot talk more highly about a group of dedicated employees, staff, parents that are really committed to our community. So thank you.
Thank you.
Does the committee recommend it to the board? Mr. Rodriguez.
I just had one question and a comment. Just thank you for your hard work when it comes to the committee and getting this together. The concern I have, or maybe in the future, are we looking at anything that we're going to have to be addressing or that might be a discussion or topic that we might need to look at in the future on the long-term part of the shack? Goals.
In what regard do you mean?
Like long term, just any type of programs or, you know, anything being mandated by whether it's the state, the federal government.
From the state? Not at this time that I know of from the state side of it. There are some things with the bullying, I think, that's coming into place that has to, you know, some changes and things. But this was really like a working committee where we just came up with ideas and we came up who was the group that our TSHAC is servicing. And then the other thing was, what do we want to service them with? So we just basically got that done. And they are doing some things on, apparently there was some talk about carbonated beverages, and they're working on that. But I'm just coming into it, and I was more or less there at the end of it, and I went home with my book last night. So I haven't had a chance to fully look at it. That's why I said to Jose that we will meet actually tomorrow and kind of meet and look it over the kinds of things that they have been working on. There's also, it's funny enough, the sheet that we use, we kind of have been using to look at programs. They have come up with one, but that one's not final. Theirs isn't final yet, and I had some input on that with putting NA as it's not applicable, and just different things like that. But they're kind of finishing up their planning year of things, and it was the first meeting that they've had from the school year, from last year. So it's kind of, and my next meeting is in November. So I'd be happy to provide you with information as I get it.
And I'll just leave it at just the last time, actually, one of the board goals for this coming year is to sort of establish some type of character, kind of the character program for our kids, looking at raising our kids well-rounded and respectful of each other and stuff, whether it's bullying, whether it's human sexuality, all that stuff. So it's something that maybe we could partner up with Dr. Murphy as one of your goals to look at strengthening that.
Right. I mean, it falls into our health and wellness. You know, I mean, that's really, you know, we look at the whole child as well. We are so committed to it. Just looking at the different things to help them so that they can have a successful life. So definitely, I'll keep that in mind. Austin.
I'd like to thank you also for taking that extra step and being on the state committee. I mean, that's just so wonderful. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you
all very much. This is an excellent presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the resolution we would need to pass, which would be in our next and regular board meeting.
There's two resolutions.
Two. Okay. One for the draw the line, respect the line, and the other one is for the AIDS empowerment. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
They chose me too.
We want to thank you to all the guests that came in for tonight's presentation. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I recommend that we recommend the two resolutions to the full board.
We are free to recommend it to the full board. So, Carlos, next agenda item, please.
Item 2B, Human Resources. Has the HR Services Division Pay System Maintenance Agreement? Presenter, Ms. Carrasco.
Madam Chair, committee members, trustees, Dr. Murphy. I am here this evening to present to you for information the HR Pay Maintenance System Agreement that has been given to TASB. Over the spring, when we were talking about our compensation, we were having our compensation meetings. There was discussion with TASB about maintenance on our pay structure for the following, for the next school year. And so they've offered this maintenance agreement. We went ahead and did a PO for this. The cost is $5,000. It's plus $200 per title if more than five job classifications are reviewed. I know that since the summer to now, there's been a couple of employees that have asked, and so I know I don't have the five titles yet, but you know it'll be again having those conversations with them, looking at more targeted areas within our pay structure. So for information, I wanted you all to know. I don't anticipate this to reach the $10,000 limit, so that's why we've gone ahead and made the purchase order, and I believe I made it for about $8,000. So I just wanted everybody to be aware that we've done this. Any questions on that? Any questions? We are free to recommend it to the full board. Thank you. Next agenda item, Carmen.
Item B2, TASB Policy Review Summary. Ms. Carrasco.
Ms. Gonzalez, was this item going to be up for discussion, or are we going to go ahead and have it pulled?
No, we're going to pull this agenda item.
Okay.
Item B, Human Resources, review of DEC local compensation and benefits, leave and absences, and DEA local compensation and benefits, wage and hour laws. Presenters, Ms. Carrasco and Mr. Carmona.
These two policies we have already discussed on several occasions, and I know we had the request to bring it back to committee. Mr. Carmona is here. He's worked extensively on DEC and on DEA. I believe the only one that we were with this, there was a sentence in DEA under pay advancement that we were removing, and it reads, no employee with less than a satisfactory performance evaluation shall receive a pay increase, and we were recommending that sentence be removed from this policy for DEA. And on DEC, I can turn it over to Mario. I believe the last time we discussed this, we were going to make some minor revisions, and he's done that, and he'll discuss these revisions with you.
Good evening, Board President, Board Members, Dr. Murphy. We'll start with page 2 under Order of Views. We're changing.
Which clause are you talking about?
I'm sorry, DEC local.
Which is
page 10.
Compensation and benefits, leave and absences.
Page 12.
If I'm not mistaken, the copy you have is line page.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay, on page 2 under order of use, we're changing on the last sentence, use of sick accrual days to use of catastrophic. And instead of pool, we're changing that or updating that to back based on the DEC regulation. I don't know if you recall that our intent is to have a sick leave bank available by next January. Then on page 3, on number 2, for the end of that paragraph, we have the district requires medical certification due to a questionable pattern of absences or when deemed necessary by the supervisor or superintendent. We're removing superintendent and adding human resources. Then we go down to requests for leave. And this is where we apply the change in terms of when leave can be taken in terms of Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, and spring break. The day after school holiday, days scheduled for end of semester and end of year exams, days scheduled for task for STAR testing. Limitations apply to all district employees except for those on a 238 or 258 work schedule, which was one, that sentence was added during our last meeting that we reviewed this policy. We removed duration of leave. And we added language in terms of the state sick leave, in terms of the number of days that are allowed for an employee to be able to provide a notice to a supervisor. The reasons why or how state sick leave should be used. Abuse of leave. Excessive absences. Documentation for absences. Tardiness. We removed the paragraph that makes reference to a sick leave pool. And again, this is due to the implementation of a catastrophic sick leave bank, which is a paragraph that follows the sick leave pool. In addition to that, we added administration of catastrophic sick leave bank, and this is where we make reference to DEC regulation. In terms of the appeal process, we removed sick to catastrophic and pool with bank. We added a bereavement funeral leave. Then all the way down to fitness for duty certification, we added from a health care provider with whom the employee is currently being treated. On page 8 of your handout, under reimbursement of leave upon separation, under item 2, we deleted contract employees. The word contract was changed by exempt. Employees must provide a written notice of 90 business days. then non-contracted employees was replaced by non-exempt. On item number three, the employee has at least, we added, or actually changed that to, instead of 6 to 10 days, I'm sorry, 10 years of service for the district, sorry, thinking of days. And we added a line to determine exactly what the pay rate is, and that reads as follows. 50% of the employee's pay rate before we had a rate established by the board. And let's see, I think those are the only changes or updates that we have so far. Do you have any questions in terms of a specific item or anything that needs to be, that I need to elaborate on?
Any questions?
No.
I just want to say that on that last section that Manu spoke about on the 50% of the employee's pay rate, that was the current practice that, that payroll was doing, and we just wanted to make sure that it was in writing somewhere, so we decided to put it in there. Also, once this policy is approved by the board, it send it off to TASB and it'll be in effect, and we're getting ready to do our enrollment. Open enrollment for our insurance coverage, and so that will be when we start off with the bank, and that is going to happen in October. However, I do want to make clear that actually we won't implement that until January. So between now and December, we're still operating as we always have been, and then in January it will change.
So.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment. It was brought to my attention recently that beginning October the 1st, we will be doing business with the Blue Cross Blue Shield once again and the orthopedic group, or that the Blue Cross will be doing business with the orthopedic group. And it was also brought to my attention that Mr. Rodriguez's comments meant a lot in their determination to move forward with that. So thank you.
Was all of us.
Yes, we received notification.
So that's, yeah,
that.
It's really good news, I would think, for our whole district to be, getting a second choice of where to have their head here. Thank you.
Any more questions?
Okay. We could make the recommendation.
Yes, recommended to the full board. Thank you.
Next item, item 2B, human resources, two positions, Ms. Carrasco.
Through the chair, I'd ask that Ms. Brigham, associate superintendent, also come up with and join this item, please. Thank you, Mari. Thank you, Mari.
We met in personnel committee last week. I sent you all a memo on this meeting because on this meeting, the meeting that comes right after Labor Day, is where we sit down and kind of look at all the enrollment numbers. We look at, we have all the teachers or all the principals hold a line on their campus as far as personnel needs, and then after Labor Day, we look at the counts, at the numbers, and then at that point feel a little bit better about granting positions once, the numbers hold and they're a little firm after that day. I'm pleased to report to you that based on that meeting, where at this time we do have 12 PES available, 12 slots at TEs. And as a result of this meeting, we found that DDE would need one additional FTE for fifth grade monolingual teacher and one kinder monolingual teacher. So that's two FTEs for DDE.
Is that part-time? Because they're one part.
No, they're full-time positions. For DDE, they're full-time positions.
No, she, I'm sorry, I'm just jumping to others.
Okay, and then for GES, there is a 0.5 that is a part-time pre-K aide. So we will be doing that 0.5. And then also, I will be sending you an update spreadsheet on as we start awarding these PEZs. Like I said, we start out with 12. Here we've used 2.5, and I know that you all had already approved the 0.5 for receptionist for JDE. So in reality, we've used up 3. And that 0.5 for JDE receptionist was if they held their numbers over 600, and they have. So we went ahead and awarded that 0.5. So overall, we used 3.
If I may, please, and Martha, I'd like to, the numbers hot off the press. We're also looking at a 0.5 possible FTE at pre-kinder for Jose Gamian. And we're watching those numbers very carefully, but right now it looks like that we might have to go to that, but it's a 0.5 FTE that we have to add possibly to this. And we're still looking at numbers are fluctuating, but our pre-K numbers are growing, which is, and you know, you don't know those until they knock on the door. But our pre-K and kinder numbers are the numbers that seem to be, you know, as Ms. There's an aide also. We're going to have an aide also for GES because of her numbers in pre-K. But, and that was just because, again, she has a large amount, but she said that she could handle it easily with an aide, a 0.5 aide.
Through the chair, I apologize, I was going off the dais there and then these two items, but this is hot off the press. JDE does need a 0.5 pre-K additional, and GE needs that aid.
GES, yes.
Yes. And so we would ask that you would add those two to your consideration. And even with that, I'm just so thrilled. Let me just take this moment as superintendent to thank the staff. We started out with 12 PEZs. We're spending less than 5. Last year, I think right out of the gate, we spent 8. And what that means is that last spring, when we did needs assessment, we did a good job in predicting the growth and staffing to the point where, at this point, we're not having to add massive amounts of units. So even though it seems like, oh goodness, we're adding 4 or whatever, it's half of what we did at this time last year. So that shows much better planning on part of the principals and central.
So overall then, to include the ones Annette has mentioned, that would be 4.5 has that we've used so far, or that we will be used to so far. Now, I guess my question is, do we need to bring this for the board for approval, since we do have the approval for the 12 PEZ, or do I move quickly with this and start so that we can advertise? I can just give you the update.
Well, these are new positions, right?
Yes, these 4.5 would be brand new positions.
Yeah, but the PEZ, I think it was the intent of the board that when there's as if these PEZs are teachers, that's out of our deal.
So you want
new positions, and then I think it should come to the board for us to approve.
That's right.
But, I mean, I don't have any issues with these. I don't know that we can approve them now, but as far as if you want direction from the board, you might want to go ahead and close. We'll have to approve them up there, but...
What does policy, because I believe we're able, it's the creation of the position. I mean, we have teacher positions created.
My thought would be, sir, that we're good to go.
Right.
We could hire and go. If you'd like, we could call Steve Blanco in the morning, get a clarification, and bring it back on the 18th if he says no, but I think we're good to go.
I think
it's just the teacher aides, huh?
Well, it's that you've allotted us for those 12 slots. I mean, you've already approved, you've got 12 slots to use. So what I'm doing here tonight is just reporting them that we need to use out of those 12, 4.5 out of those slots that you've already approved.
I don't have any problem with
and I'd like to get those teachers in to those classrooms.
And I think that a recommendation from this committee to the board is sufficient to...
You mean to administration?
Yeah.
Was that...
You recommend?
I have a couple of questions.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Was that it, Mr. Cornett?
Yeah. Just so what positions aren't teaching positions?
The 0.5 receptionist. And the 0.58, but that's in the classroom. So you haven't said anything in the classroom.
What's a 0.5 receptionist again?
The 0.5 receptionist is at JDE, and that one the board has approved. And we have put it in with a caveat saying that if she held her numbers over 600, what are her numbers at JDE?
660.
Was that previously approved in our budget?
That was previously approved, yes.
That's all I have for you. The other part, were you going to talk about the last one, about Hector and the intern?
Yes. I do have, in the personnel committee, there was also a request by our internal auditor wanting to hire a staff auditor intern. And I believe that some of the other districts, what they do is if they hire, for example, interns, accounting interns from the university. And what I want to do, and as I explained, is that not be an FTE or from the PES, that we treat that position similar as we do tutors. And it would be like a 19-hour position, and of course there would have to be some strict requirements as to what intern is, and you know, there would have to be a student, it would have to be, and then we can treat it like a tutor position. And I was going to get with some of the other school districts that have these positions and make some comparisons as far as the hourly rate and what we can do. And then I'd have to bring that back to you because I would have to include that in the stipend listing and not, like I said, it wouldn't be counted as an FTE. It would be as a stipend in the stipend listing.
And just real quick, I had a conversation since part of the audit committee, being chairman, we were discussing, my major concern is we've been, we've had the lag and time of without an internal auditor. And so we have a lot of catch-up work that we need to do. And so looking at maybe possibly, getting a student that could come in and do some of the smaller leg work to actually get the full audit plan at least back up. And then depending how it goes, we could look at it. But just to start moving so that way we could, catch up on our audit report.
But this is not going to be permanent, correct?
It's what?
Not going to be permanent position?
Because
we already have, remember that we approved a staff auditor?
And I guess if Hector wants to talk about it a little, and then we could decide if it's permanent or not, but I wouldn't want to make it permanent, but I wouldn't want to take it out. I would want to see maybe next year we might, if it's only a couple of thousand to have a student intern and, having them help out with some of the work that is more, clerical, and at the same time gaining learning experience so we could create more internal auditors in the field.
In other words, it would be a rotation of students as the semesters or the school year. So it wouldn't be, I don't foresee this to be the same person year after year after year, because then it would be more like an FTE. Mm-hmm. So we would have to follow that model of it actually meeting the definition of a student intern. And again, like I said, I can mirror what we do for tutors.
And with my past experience, that's what's happened
with, you know, my previous position at EPISD, where the students gain experience and then they leave to full-time positions after they graduate. And I think it's a plus for the community, it's a plus for internal audit, and it helps us with some of the clerical work that is done in audit. A lot of the audit work that we do is data entry into spreadsheets to try to do data analysis, and they could help us with that, and I think it'll speed up the audit process.
No problem with confidentiality.
When I received the staff auditor, when the staff auditor starts his or her position, also the intern, I would put a procedure in place, a confidentiality agreement with those employees, and make sure that, you know, they understand that all the information that we receive and work on would be confidential, and, you know, they wouldn't be able to share that information.
And would there be a level to which you would allow the intern to be a party to?
There's, I think we may restrict some information.
Because I would think if this is a revolving thing, that how can, I mean, confidentiality will be breached if you've got a new person every 6 months coming in. I know human behavior is what it is. I see that as a possible pitfall with an intern and a confidentiality issue.
What I could do is put procedures in place to maybe request approval for a particular sensitive projects, whether, you know, the project would be a project where we would share sensitive information with the intern. Maybe it's such a high sensitive type project that we wouldn't want the intern to work on that specific project. I think maybe case by case, and that's a good idea as well, data classification. So if it's considered highly sensitive, then we wouldn't give that to the intern to work on.
Yeah, like maybe a 1 to 5 scale, and, you know, over 2.5, they don't get it.
Yeah, but if it's finance, basic finance or technology stuff, then.
Yeah, but it's But I would think that that's something really to be aware, careful, that if it isn't a person that's going to be on for a significant amount of time, if it's a rotation, that could cause us to have a breach and.
Understand.
Okay, thank you.
And this position, of course, would be subject to funding. You know, just like tutors, if there's money in the budget, we get them. If not, then.
Just one question. Victor, where are we in the status of the employment of the staff?
Soon we'd like to have a second round of interviews. And we would need to schedule that with the board members that are going to be participating in the interview committee. I think we have a good pool of candidates at this point, and so I think we could proceed forward. So we would need to schedule those interviews soon.
Could we?
Can I just have one more concern? Hector, your office is really small with 3 people.
And there are some plans that the district has discussed with, I guess, with members that are possibly going to move to other locations. And so we had a meeting with the architects, and they took our needs, and they're in the process of developing a relocation plan. And I just this afternoon gave the architects information about my needs. And so within that, I guess the information that I shared with them, I proposed that in the future, or this relocation that's going to happen, that for my department, they consider the new area to be equipped to handle three persons, and you know, along with, you know, furniture and whatever else we need, cabinets, storage area. And so I think that move, along with hopefully you approve the intern position, so we'll be able to have room to fit those additional people.
That's all I have.
Can I just address something? The discussion we had was looking at whatever savings, since he hasn't had a person.
Savings
from the internal auditor.
Where are the savings coming
from? From the person that we were going to hire.
But there's no savings. Are there savings room?
It's been a couple months without hiring.
But there's no savings. We haven't hired anyone yet.
Good evening. Basically, what was discussed and shared with Mr. Rodriguez is the savings won't be able to be determined, if there are any, until the actual staff auditor is hired and we land on an official salary for that individual. Then, based on that, the daily rate times whatever date they're hired will determine number of days on that person's calendar. So there may be some savings, however, at this point we don't know, because we need to hire a staff auditor first, and then that can be determined.
We're going to have savings, we just don't know how much.
Right.
And the way that I was proposing that the intern would be paid was up to the cost, I mean, up to the savings. And so, I mean, if we run out of savings, then we can always terminate the employment at that point.
And so I guess the main concern is, at least let's look at it for a year, see how it works, and then, you know, depending where we're at in the audit plan next year when we approve it and discuss it.
Let's look at the budget.
I would recommend that we move forward, and I guess after the meeting we can talk about scheduling the interviews for the staff auditor, and then at that same time I will put something together for the stipend listing, and then I can bring that back to you with an hourly rate, and then you all can approve it off the stipend listing. In the meantime, I think we need to move forward with hiring the staff auditor, and then we can move forward with the other as soon as we have that
outline.
Sure. Okay, this position's already been vacant for 3 months, or at the end of this month. It will be 3 months. So that's 1/4 of whatever the salary is of the staff auditor. Do you anticipate you're going to need for the intern for this year more than around $15,000 or so?
Well, I did some rough calculations. If we assume that the staff auditor is going to get the max, which was $59,000, so if you divide that by 12, their monthly salary would be $4,916. If you multiply that times 3, it's $15,000 approximately that we have, you know, that I'm terming cost savings. The part-time intern position I'm estimating would be $8,640 with an hourly rate of $12 an hour. But I think we're in, we have
when we match the figures, we determined that it's just making sure that we, not knowing what the staff auditor is going to come in at. That's the only thing that I recommend.
Yeah, not soon.
But other than that, I do believe there will be.
I don't have a problem with this, and if it's going to help, we're already behind in our auditing for probably 2 years almost. We're going to have to probably send another update to TEA about why we didn't finish last year's audit. And, you know, now we've lost time on 25% of the time for our new staff auditor for this year. I have a problem. We're going to have the money at least for that intern for this year. I don't have a problem getting temporary help for this year, and then we'll take a look at it in next year's budget. Mike.
So you want to go ahead and recommend the intern position at $12 an hour?
That's my opinion.
Does 12 sound about right?
I looked at some of the other districts, and they're doing 12, 13. check with TASB.
Do you want to come back and bring us the full amount for the next board meeting and we'll make a recommendation tonight? Can you have those figures ready
yes.
by the next board meeting?
Yes.
I would
make a recommendation to the for the board to, and then I will bring you that information at the board meeting.
Okay. Do you agree?
You're gonna bring it back
yes.
to the board with figures.
And I'll call TASB, see if they have a recommendation, but I can bring you the data.
Yeah, I think we should recommend it to the board.
Okay.
One last question, Chair. How's the pool for the staff auditor now?
Yeah. What's new positions, right? I would like to just discuss that more, like on the interviewing, are we all going to meet and all that, so that way we could.
We did have, I did send an update, I don't remember how many new ones we had, but I provided the update with all the new applicants from the last time that you all interviewed. I think there was probably about
They
knew
that hadn't applied
before.
Yeah, they're new.
Okay. We need to move on that one.
And since it is new positions on the agenda, and that's a new position, I guess the thing is, so that way we know, are we all going to participate in that interview? And what date do we schedule? Can we schedule something within next week's homecoming, so maybe after homecoming, do interviews for the full board, or how does the board want to?
At the last meeting, I think there were three of you that participated.
It was like an ad hoc.
Yeah. I mean, we could do the ad hoc again. The thing was, we were in a time constraint, and so we did the ad hoc. Are we going to have the full board? Should we set up a date, or do we want to do the ad hoc?
I don't know, but let's move fast, because we're delaying this too long.
I don't think we should do the full board. I think we should do it how we did last time. I think it's too many.
Yeah,
I mean,
worked really well.
Mm-hmm. It sure did, and mm-hmm. if they would be happy to do it again, maybe we just move along since their work wasn't finished, they just continue the work.
Okay, let's have three board members.
Same three?
I was unable to attend, but whoever else wants to, I want to.
Okay. Three volunteers.
You wanted to be, and who else was, or?
I'll serve unless somebody else wants to. Whatever.
Who is the committee?
If you need me to fill a spot, I will. If not, somebody else wants to serve.
Patsy,
you
do?
Patsy served in your place.
Okay, so you take.
Nobody served in my place, so I'll be back.
Okay.
So we'll just check the schedule and unschedule something.
President Searles, we have that September 28th date that now we have vacated.
Do we really need to wait till after homecoming?
Yeah, where do
you want
somebody? Do we really need to wait till after homecoming? I mean, is it crazy for you guys next week?
I'm open.
Can we do it Thursday?
I'm open, so.
I say we do it. That's not, why wait?
Can we? I mean, I could probably do it Thursday.
The parade is a week from tomorrow.
It's on
Wednesday. Thursday.
Thursday night is your committee meeting, sir.
Yeah.
So, Monday?
Friday?
I think he was talking about next Thursday.
Not this week, but the whole week.
Yeah.
Next Thursday?
Yeah.
So we'd have the parade bonfire on Wednesday, and then we'd have interviews on Thursday, and then the game Friday.
Yeah, because the board meeting's what, the following week, so at least we can make a recommendation.
Okay, so Thursday of next week?
No, this.
You want it this week
or
next
week?
No,
this week's your committee meeting, sir.
It has to be next week, Mando.
Thursday is the committee meeting. We can.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be on. Were the interviews in the night or during the day?
You want to do it during the day?
They were after work.
After work.
We had them after work.
They started at 4:30.
Well, remember that you were going to schedule them during the day?
Yes. I think not everybody was available.
It was because of Sergio, so. She's not eligible.
So,
but is it enough notice to schedule? I can
next week, yes.
Bring that to not for this week, though, huh? It's too short.
Kind of short. Well, Dr. Murphy's saying that on Thursday you have another meeting.
But he's saying that's why can you do it during the day? What is it?
During the day?
Friday.
Friday during the day? If everybody's available.
I mean, let's look at our schedules, but let's try to roll with it this week or next week.
Okay.
I can check my schedule. I don't know what I have Friday, but if, for me it's difficult during the day.
Yeah.
Friday would be.
That's your golf day.
Friday would be a possible,
depending
on what I have.
Let me know on your schedule.
And if not, maybe somebody else can serve in my place if somebody can. Else on Friday.
Mr. Gordon, I'll call me tomorrow and let me know about your schedule, and then I can go from there.
All right.
We also have Monday evening totally free, which would give us 2 days before the parade.
Yeah, Monday would be good. Next Monday.
Speaking of the parade, we have to decorate the tree.
And speaking of homecoming, we will have catering at the press box for the board and at the game.
Okay. So Sergio's going to call you and then decide if he's going to do it or not.
If he's going to do it on Friday, and then if not, Monday's the other option.
Monday evening, we have nothing.
Okay. All right. So we're. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next agenda item.
Item 2B, second year renewal of RFP 11-19 district insurance package, workers' compensation, presenter Mr. Gonzalez.
Madam Chair, committee members, Dr. Murphy. I'm here to present to you the numbers for renewal on our RFP 11-19, which was authorized last year for workers' compensation policy to public work comp program through Wells Fargo Insurance Services. The contract last year that was signed, or the RFP that was authorized last year, was for 1 year with two additional years option for us to renew. And in your package, you have the renewal numbers for this coming year for 2012-2013. For workers' compensation, and it's with about approximately a 2% increase. Based, this workers' compensation is based on payroll, and we reported the fact that we were getting approximately 2% increase. At the end of the school year, every year, we will get adjusted based on our actual payroll. We will be audited, and our actual numbers will be used to determine our actual premium. I've got an indication right now that this coming year, we're going to get back approximately $16,000. Based on our annual premium. And I would like for the committee to recommend to the full board that we do accept these numbers and continue or go on with our process for renewal.
I so recommend to the committee recommend it to the board.
Just real quick on the percentage, is there going to be a percentage increase with the next 2 year contract renewal?
Every year we are required to give them a figure saying this is what our payroll, projected payroll will be for that year.
So it's an increase within the payroll, but not an increase in the percentage.
The rate will remain the same because the payroll increases or premium may increase.
Okay. That's all I had, Madam Chair.
Okay. We recommend it to the board.
Next item, second year renewal of RFP 11-20 district insurance package, property, general liability, educator, legal liability, liability, and auto liability, presented Mr. Gonzalez.
Okay, thank you once again. This is also a renewal for our property, our inland marine, crime, auto, general liability, educator, legal liability, employment practice liability, and excess liability policy, and that's basically our category policy. Was awarded to Travelers Insurance Company through Wells Fargo Insurance Services last year. There is a small increase. Our majority of it is in the property because our property was reevaluated using the Marshall Swift method of evaluation, which most companies use that, and they determined that our property is a little bit more higher value than what we actually reported. So there's about maybe about $9,000 increase in the property part. The remainder is about 1-2% increase, and that's mostly due to our experiences in the auto There was about a $3,000 increase, but we added 20 units last year compared to what we reported the first year. So $5,000 for 20 units is a good price. The general liability was at a small increase because we've had several liability claims that they expended because of the legal fees and things like that. I'm recommending that, or I'm asking the board to recommend it, or the committee to recommend to the full board that we accept this proposal and continue with the renewal process for the.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Mrs. Searles.
I'm looking at page 34 in the board book. It would be under your premium summary. And where they've increased our property values. I know it is what it is, but I just find it absolutely incredible that the weight room at CMS has gone up almost $400,000 when we just received a memo that probably we ought to start looking towards tearing it down. It's in such bad shape. I think that's ludicrous.
Right, and there are some properties on here that, like I said, we use the Marshall Swift method basically determines the age of the building,
yeah.
Construction, square footage, the use, that kind of stuff. There are some buildings on our property that we could definitely tear down or get rid of or lease them to someone, to another company with the intent that they take over all the insurance as well. And that would definitely reduce our premiums.
But what I'm saying is on that weight room, I doubt seriously it's going to make the overall policy go down much. But did you argue that point with them that $400,000 increase in a weight room that?
Yes, ma'am, we did. And we have a representative in the back of the room, C. Valen, who is with Wells Fargo.
Uh-huh.
And he may be able to explain a little bit further what that process was.
And I saw the same thing with our language arts at CMS. It's gone up like $500,000. I don't think that we've put that much.
Is the language arts wing the sixth grade wing?
I don't have a clue. It just says CMS language arts.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing? I'm Steve Allen with Wells Fargo. How are you guys doing? I know most of you have dealt with you through the past. The process that Travelers Insurance uses, like Mike described, there is Marshall Swift, which is a valuation service. We're not appraisers, and the insurance company is really not an appraiser either.
Mm-hmm. Understand.
And so what they've done is they've gone by the square footage and the construction, and this is what they came up with. Yes, we did fight with them. We fought with them quite a bit about it. But I don't think they were picking on anyone's structure. To me, it looked like some of the older buildings got picked on more than the newer buildings.
Exactly.
The newer buildings are more in line with what the replacement cost would be. So what we're looking at is a replacement cost figure. It's a replacement cost figure. It's not an appreciated figure.
Okay, thank you. That makes a world of difference.
Well, see, I think that that's part of it. So
if it should be destroyed, we will get replacement values, what you're saying, and they have upgraded to a value they feel is appropriate.
Right. They're going to replace it with like kind of quality or try to. That's what they say.
Okay.
The insurance company.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Was that it?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Just a couple of questions. Just on the appraisal, you're saying it's not an appraisal, it's a...
it's a valuation.
A relocation. So if something were to happen to a building, then if you needed to purchase another one, that's a value, correct?
Right. That's what they're using. And it'd be subject to whatever your deductible is also.
And so how much did that increase our premium?
Your premium is increased about 5% overall, I think, on all lines, with all lines of coverage.
And the Marshall and Swift appraisal, are those that appraisal, in other words, do they know the local market?
Yes, it's rated, the way that they put it together, they combine a lot of values for different kinds of structures. Like if you had a church, you have a school building, they have different construction classes within that group, school has a bunch of different buildings, a bunch of different construction types, and they base it off of, I guess, construction people in the area that they would talk to, like how much does it cost you per hour to build this kind of structure, what is the material cost, are materials readily available in the area? There's a lot of things that probably go into it, but it's broken out by zip code. So our zip code here in Canyon Teo would be different probably even across town. but El Paso County might be pretty similar since we're so isolated.
And the appraisal or the Marshall and Swift people, are those the individuals that you have to go by?
Or that's who the insurance company uses. We have no choice or no say in that.
In other words, could we get a second appraisal? And
I guess you could. And I'm sure that you probably have had an appraisal done. I don't know when your latest appraisal was done for the district.
They don't go off cat.
No. That's, okay, you start talking about that.
Death Ross.
No. That's, you're looking more there on a tax basis. You know, they're doing that for a tax basis. And, of course, you've got depreciated value, you've got replacement cost, you've got actual cash value, you got market value. You hear people throwing out all these terms. You know, what's it worth to you and me over there being an old exercise room is one thing. But if it did burn down or got blown down or blew up and we had to replace it, would we replace it there? We might not replace it in the same place, but we might want to have the same facility for us to use.
So how much on our premium has it gone up?
$20,000.
So it is, we're paying a total of $500,000?
$500,000 for all lines of coverage. And that includes the workers' compensation, which is a big chunk of the borrowers' comp.
The overall premium for property is about 5% is the increase.
About 5% increase. And that was on older structures that they picked on. Most, like I said, most of the new ones, from what I can tell, most of the new ones they left alone. They had not changed. And if you get rid of some of them, or you get them over, like Mike said earlier, if you get them over, somebody else will lease them out. We'll take them off the schedule, you get credit for it. So.
Okay. I was just looking at maybe getting a second appraisal, but if we were to appraise all those buildings,
it
would be more
much,
costly than the premium.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much an appraisal would cost you. I haven't seen one in a while that we actually paid for, so we actually paid for them.
And do you feel we're well covered?
Yes, I do. Okay. You know, the current state of the market has been property and casualty insurance. We've witnessed over probably the last 10 to 15 years, steadily prices have gone down and remained the same. And you've actually gotten more for your money. And I think there's going to be a trend probably pretty quick that the market's going to start going back up. For some reason, the economy's not been good, and the insurance companies, the insurance market I've been in at 36 years now, it seems like when things are at their worst possible time, these guys want to get more money from everybody. So it's kind of interesting to see. We did look to some other markets to see if there would be a savings, and Travelers is still the most competitive one out there. In my opinion, from what I see like on the fleet worries me a lot more than the buildings. You know, you got the little kids in the fleet, you got these people driving all over the place, and that's a very minute or minuscule premium though, where we could be at risk. But that's my opinion. I'm not paying premium, so. But I do think you've got a real good program here with these people. We're real happy with them. They've lost control of it, and they work with Mike. They know people in the district. So.
If I might also add that in one of my previous jobs and things else, I did work for an insurance company in the loss control and safety part, and my job at that point was to evaluate buildings for the insurance company to assess its premiums and stuff like that. And the Marshall Swift method is one of the ones that is used out there by most industries because it's the most accurate.
Chair.
Mr.
Porter.
Lori, we did also just make an improvement to that building to the tune of $100,000 to $150,000, just the roof. So think what it would cost us to replace it besides the roof.
I agree.
So it's just a matter of the replacement issue.
And the ACs.
And the ACs. Wait, what was the increase on that we made?
Excuse
me?
Probably $250,000 total.
Yeah.
The roof and the ACs.
After we did everything was...
$250,000. Yeah.
But I think they raised our value $400,000, and that was the gap that concerned me. But I understand, and overall, I understand. Yeah. It's fine.
Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. So I say for your approval and your recommendation to the board that this be accepted and we go on with in our agreement to the process.
I'm in agreement.
Okay, we agree to recommend to the school board. Next agenda item, please.
Thank you. Item C, curriculum and instruction, summer school overview, presenter Ms. Vieto.
Standards to help prepare for next year.
Madam Chair, I have to say that I've been the one that's been so desirous that we get in compliance with our BQ local policy and it goes to legal. And Ms. Fuhrer, I think you've come an immense way from last summer when we began talking about this. This looks wonderful to me, as does the next agenda item, the wheel that you've made too. They both look wonderful to me.
Thank you. And then we, for the summer school, also included a teacher survey again.
Awesome.
And that will bring us to the next agenda item, which is why I wanted the summer school first. The wheel, if we look at BQ Local on page, it's going to be at the bottom of page one and the top of page two, where we have elements of the program accountability, clear statements of expectation, purposes, provisions for staff, resources, support necessary, evaluation of each program, recommendations and revisions, and of course, the data will help us compare the costs. And then if you look at the program, oh, I'm sorry, you did go on the next giant engine, I apologize.
Item two, right? Item two, program evaluation wheel.
Okay. If we look at the program evaluation wheel and how it ties to BQ Local, but then we also look at the timeline where each of the programs that we purchased will present data to the board. And those are going to be after our district assessments that we will actually have data to monitor the progress of our students and our programs.
It feels really good to me to see this happening.
It feels really good to
me. I bet it really does. Thank you. Yeah, this is wonderful.
Ms. Fierro, can you explain page 46 in our board book, this page?
Yes. That is where the programs that we have purchased and have renewed and the evaluation dates, November, February, and June. In October, we're going to have our first district assessment, so we should have the data available. And by the time the campuses scan the data, we should have data available and be able to create a report in November. We also have semester exams that were created district-wide, so that will be end of December. But then we also have other program assessments happening in January, so we should have a report for the board available in February, and then again in June, which will give us time to actually for implementation and then to gather the data. And then we can do that all with all of them.
Through the chair. So would your idea, Ms. Fierro, be that, I mean, we're doing these all together, would it be that we would have a curriculum evaluation night in November as part of one of the committees and you'd go through them all? Sure. Then we'd come back in February and you'd go through them all?
I could have a report like this for each of them.
So just...
Don't you think that we could also get them in a Friday packet?
Yes.
And then maybe, yeah, absolutely.
Friday packet and then...
And then maybe not go through them all.
Yeah, maybe not have to go through them all, that if there's any that we have questions about, pick and choose and go through those.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that somehow for board action, we show that we take board action annually to approve these. And we've, fulfilled our legal requirement. I feel like first man on Mars or something. This is great.
And then the legal requirement, Ms. Searles, is just annual.
Yes.
So maybe we pick, she's saying November, February, June, maybe we pick one of those times as the annual approval.
Probably the June one.
Yeah.
You
have the data from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our state assessments.
Okay. Any more questions?
And then how are you tying this to purchasing?
Well, if the data shows that...
No, I mean the page, the evaluation page.
Oh, that evaluation page?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
You were showing me last week that every time you want to purchase...
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That is, we can go on to the next item.
Okay, I apologize.
Right.
Item three, purchase query database software presenter, Ms. Griffin, Ms. Rajo.
Well, come back. Mm-hmm.
You want to skip?
Do you want to skip down?
So she's
just, let's continue with your agenda and then we'll go right back into.
Okay. Item 4, renewal, purchase and renewal of Renaissance.
Okay, and again, here's that template that I think Dr. Murphy was referring to. We're looking at the purpose of the program to renew our Renaissance products, which are going to be the STAR Math, the STAR Reading, the Accelerated Math, Accelerated Reading, English in a Flash, and Math Facts in a Flash. English in a Flash and Math Facts in a Flash are used in summer school daily for 15 minutes. Teachers monitor their progress and felt that that was helpful. The STAR Reading and the STAR Math test, which really renews at 99 cents per student each, are the universal screeners that we're using to measure growth in the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and the end of the year.
Are they still using that?
Yes.
They are still using
it. We have an assessment calendar now where it's scheduled where students are. Every student, once a week, is scheduled to be tested on STAR Math, okay, and STAR Reading, the beginning, middle, and end of the year, so we can measure growth. It'll be part of my evaluations, reports.
Okay.
Accelerated Reader is still being used on campuses, and Accelerated Math, I guess we probably got started about October, but a little bit of a bumpy start, and the campuses would like another year to try implementation of that now, now that everything's in place. And again, our goal is that they show achievement. In the middle schools, they plan on using these in Mentoring Minds classes, Responsive Intervention classes. In the elementaries, they're doing push-ins, pull-outs with academic tutors. And they do need computers to implement these programs. But we have, again, just set up in the lab to be able to do that. But that will not cause any additional cost to the district. Any staff development that will be required for this program can be handled through CNI because there will be only new teachers that will require it.
Okay.
And again, we have the STAR Math and STAR Reading test scheduled 3 times a year so we can measure achievement. And the Renaissance report does provide reports for this. And then we also have Edge of 4 reports that we can use.
Through the chair. So, if I may, just to highlight, if everyone will just look at their book and turn to page 53, and then turn all the way back to 62. Page 53 through 62 is basically Ms. Fierro's request to renew and purchase these products. And the new page is the last page, page 62, which shows purpose, expectations, staff resources, instructional resources, staff development, and then evaluation. And there you see the November, February, and June. And this page 62 is the new page that every time she comes to you for a curriculum purchase or renewal, this will now be there, showing purpose and all that, including the evaluation, which then is documented and holds us accountable. And this is the page that I'm excited about that will now come forward. And I think we'll go a long way in helping us. Good job, man.
Do you think we need signatures by teachers, or I don't know, do you?
I did communicate with the campuses about it, and I remember Ms. Moreno being here last year asking another year to try it, and I also contacted middle schools, you know, do we want to go forward with it, because the state is offering another intervention program at no cost in the middle schools called Think Through Math, which we'll also be implementing. But that is going to be more of your problem solving, and these are our basic skills, which we really do need both. The AccuPlacer is very much basic skills aligned, so we really need to be hitting the critical thinking at those basic skills.
So, do you think, do you think we need signatures on that evaluation form? Because who's evaluating this? I mean,
it'll be CNI department through the reports from Renaissance and through Eduforia. So the data will be scanned in, and the reports come from the database. But I also put out surveys
at some point, looking at this policy, it should, this same should need to be reviewed by our district committee, our district action committee, and our campus improvement committees. Right. That somehow they need to fit in, and that may be where the sign-off needs to come.
I personally would like to see signatures.
Uh-huh. That, I agree. And that as we work into this, that somehow we begin to involve in the, you'll see in the first two sections of this.
So are you saying that whoever pulls the data from the system needs to sign that they created this report? Is that what you mean?
No. I think what she's saying is the evaluation needs to be, we evaluated it, we liked it.
Okay.
Or we hated this.
Okay,
yes,
so maybe
no.
Survey to go along with this or take it to that, or what were you thinking? A committee to read it to
Well, this is an evaluation form that you're bringing to us. What is it that you evaluate? Like, for example, I'm mostly right now referring, like, this is an overall form. This is a purchase that you're recommending to us. Let's say we're not familiar with it. Who authorizing it, but who's recommending the purchase? Of course you are, but you have a committee
that
recommended. So I would like to see those signatures.
When I bought it for the first 10 purchase last year, I had those signatures.
Well, that's what I would like to see. But you had a committee for the purchase, but then I would like to see the committee
that evaluated it.
And that the same who recommended it might be part of who's signing off on the evaluation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Sure. I do have that on some of them, but I can certainly do that for the
remaining. Okay, please.
Through the chair, one thing that might help with that, Pam, is again going to your excellent page 62. Person responsible. Maybe we need a person responsible line that then will even cue us even further.
I do.
Persons.
I have that, and you can tell me if you want an actual line that says it. When I have on evaluators, your look, it says, the United Department will evaluate student usage and achievement in November, February, and June.
Are you on the Renaissance stuff?
Yes. But under evaluators, I have who's responsible for the evaluation. But I can certainly add committee, you know, also committee.
Can you hold that up? What are you on?
Okay.
Oh, you're on that
evaluators.
Page?
It says you have to evaluate.
What page do you think that is?
No, it's at page 60.
Okay.
Second to the last line.
Okay.
62. Second, it says, CNI will evaluate. But I guess what we're asking for is that
a committee
person responsible. Where, like, if it's a math program, you put the math person's name there. If it's a ELA program, the ELA program science. Because you have those individuals.
Well, it's the same thing, but I needed signatures. The committee.
That they're approving the renewal, right?
Yes.
Just kind of like I do the first
time. Oh, you're talking about the renewal, not the evaluation.
Both. That, you know, we're signing off. We think this is a good idea to do this again. We're signing off. We evaluated it. This is a good program, and kids learn. Or we're signing here to say it is really lousy, and let's spend our money in a different way.
So what I can add then to the recommendation is, recommendation is to approve renewal for this program, and then signatures at the bottom. I got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay.
Item 5, the purchase of a cheap.
Yes, we recommended it to the school. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Curtis.
Okay. We already have a cheap 3000 at the high school. And what we're asking now, because our 45% of our students passed the right EOC, which meant 55% didn't. And you know, it really was a problem statewide. It seems that it's more of an alignment issue than it is an instructional issue, just because we didn't see the test. We couldn't see the rigor of the test. Same teachers, same cheeks. ELAR used to be the rock stars, and now they're the lowest. Same cheeks, same teachers, same course, different test. It's an alignment issue. But now that they've released writing samples June 27th, we're going to bring in some PD with Nancy Love to help out with that. But what we also want to do is support our students in the eighth grade before they take the EOC with the CHE 3000. CHE 3000 allowed us to pilot this for our summer program, and the teachers really liked it. One of the stressors about it was the time that it would take, because the recommendation is that they use it twice a week. So we met as a committee, and what an idea that the committee came up with was, which included the middle school principals, Ms. Brigham, myself, curriculum instruction, and some eighth grade teachers. And basically an idea that we came up with, that we would use in some of the CTE courses in eighth grade that did not, that students do not receive high school credit for. So what we did is then we brought in our CTE teachers and we asked how they felt about that. We looked at TEKS. There are a lot of communication TEKS in the CTE courses. One of the things that CHE 3000 requires is a lab. There's a lab there every time they go to the lab. So what we could do is one day a week in the lab with CTE courses, they could work on CHE 3000, and then the other day would be with the eighth grade teacher to follow up. So we did get a committee together. Actually, if you look at, I don't know what page it is for you, but we did get signatures. We did ask the eighth teachers to come in, and they got a presentation from CHE 3000, and of course, we weren't going to go forward without their thumbs up on this. So this is the committee that we did make sure that they were in agreement. Because one of the things, you know, we don't want to purchase a program and then not have a plan for it, especially if it requires regular use of technology. So they were in agreement. So then that's why I'm here now. They're actually pretty excited about it.
Any
it
questions?
Does come with staff, a couple days of staff development, and again, we can get monthly reports about Shell Excel games, which is really a national standard. And if a student reaches 1350, then they're considered college ready for reading. And if we can get these students reading at a higher Excel level, they'll write. And then there's also lots of opportunities for them to write. There's a lot of expository writing. Well, that's one of the essays required on the English 1 exam and the English 2 exam with an expository essay. So we figured we start in eighth grade, we'd be able to put it all on there. When they found out that 240 of our students did not pass the English 1 writing, about 120 showed up for summer school and 20 passed the retest. We saw about 200 have to retest English 1 writing. There was definitely a sense of urgency for us to not wait for the freshman year to start working on the reading.
And again, this is a problem across the state.
Yes, it is.
And the legislature has no clue about what they've done with these retesters not passing and the requirement that they pass before they, you know, it's just, it's crazy.
Any questions?
Okay.
We recommend it to the full board.
By the way, did we tell Representative Marco that we wanted to get rid of this testing deal?
I did chase him up. I did. See this evening.
Yes, we did. We said we didn't want
the 50%
rule and all that. And he'll be with us on Saturday as well, so talk to him.
Can I write
him?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I've got a question. If this year, please don't ever remember to look back and go, oh, yeah, you know, this one was a dud, and if we got rid of that, we've got more money. We can get better stuff. You know, just like clothes in the closet. If you get rid of some of the old ones, you get new ones in there.
And I'm a little bit worried about accelerated math, but okay. They've asked for another year. So, and it's the renewal is minimal. So I think because the first year of Renaissance is very expensive, so I feel like to get our money's worth, we do need to try for one more year. So, but
thank you.
At that one, I'm a little worried about.
Okay,
Item 6, award of RFP 12-12 for online courseware.
Okay.
Chairperson Gonzalez, committee members, Dr. Murphy. First of all, I'd like to apologize. I did leave one form out on this item. Yes, sir. Carlos has handed them out right now. Handed a copy of this out to you. I omitted it when I sent the email to Tony, and Ms. Piero caught it, and she brought it to my attention. In your package, you'll have a form that looks like this. It shows that we had a tie on our evaluation, but this is what we used to break that tie. So this is how we broke that tie, just so you'll know why that's being handed out. Again, I do apologize for not having that. But it is recommended to the full board for next week. I'll make sure it's included in the agenda.
And this is to replace the A-plus program that we currently have at the high school with Plato.
I want $100 from them once at a school board convention.
Plato?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know how they always should put your name in the hat?
The chair, what's the cost difference between what we currently have and Plato?
Right now, A-plus right now is quoting us $77,400. The price will be claimed for Plato is $69,500.
It's cheaper.
Well, cheaper. And we believe it's a lot better product.
Wow. Get Plato cheaper. That goes against what common thought. Plato's always considered the more expensive.
Well, I think we've been looking back on the A plus. I'll have to with Ms. Fierro. She probably has more experience in it than I do. But we've been a little bit unhappy with their service for A plus, and now the pricing. I think they thought we had it over a barrel, and that's one of the reasons we go up for bid on this, so we can look at other items.
Well, and we feel that the content will prepare them more for the rigor of the STAR and of the courses. So the alignment is definitely better. And we feel certainly more comfortable using this program in A-plus for any special circumstances that we have in the TLC lab where students have to take it for a first time. It really is a complete course.
And this is effective when?
This will be effective. See, we have A-plus through, they grant us 2 months, so that will be through November. So what we're going to do is we have a transition period because students have started on A-plus, which was the original intent anyway, to give teachers, when they came back, time to learn the new program. So they've extended it 2 months for us. And the goal is to have students that are currently on A-plus to finish their coursework by October 1st. If they don't, they still have through November to do that, but then we'll be phasing out the new students with the new courses into the new program. It'll give us time to staff develop. We'll go to some of the teachers to make that transition.
Well, what's your committee?
I'm sorry?
No. Did they,
It's part of here. The committee
should be in the back of the committee was Ned Brigham, Harry Flores, David Pimentel, Judy Jimenez, Lopez Sedas.
Is that the same committee as for the online coursework?
Yes, that's what we're talking about, right?
Okay.
This is it.
Harry Flores
is also.
Which one?
We also included Estella Jimenez there. She's from our IT department, so she can give an idea of how this would work with our system.
All the core content represented with the CNI and Carrie and then Ms. Massey.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. We recommend it to the board.
Item 7, Cognitive Coaching Foundation Seminar.
Communication. Our campus needs assessments show that the campus wants training on professional learning communities, and part of that is being able to communicate. And so we also wanted to help out our current assistant principals. We focused a lot of our professional development on our principals with leadership, so we felt this was the year for the Aspiring Principals Academy, so our instructional coordinators and our assistant principals could start receiving professional development. And it also goes in line with our goals toward customer service in the district and how we communicate. It's also part of an 11-day training, which they would get one or two trainings per month throughout the year, through April, and the cognitive coaching would be part of that. It's a really very high quality training about communication, especially with our instructional coordinators when they're going in to assist teachers in their PLCs. It's very important that they communicate in an effective way, in a supporting way, in a trusting way, that teachers don't feel threatened or that they're talked down to in any way. So it becomes a positive working relationship.
Okay, any questions?
No.
Okay, you recommend to approve. Next agenda item.
Item 8T, a class size waiver.
About the class size waivers, at this time of the year, it's always in flux because students are still registering on our campuses. For the Friday packet at the time, we had two first grade classes at Jose Damian that were between 22 and 25, and one third grade class at Deanna Davenport. We already talked about the FTEs that we were going to add to those campuses. But we're finding that before next Friday's packet, we may have to alter this again, as we're finding that our numbers are increasing at what, BCE, you found, right?
BCE, JDE, and GACIA.
We may need to add some more class waivers. And TE requires that we add that we have to request a waiver by October 3rd for any class that is above 22, and or 30 days, if a class gets larger after that, 30 days after a class reaches the capacity of 23 or more. So this may change again before, but whatever's in our next running packet is what we're going to ask for. TA waiver applications for class size are now online. Waivers now have to be done online and require the date that the board approved it. So you approve it on Tuesday, then we'll submit it on Wednesday.
You know, I can't help but notice later on the agenda that we are asking for all these tuition waivers, and there's 23 of them. And I can't help but wonder how that is affecting the student population and the grade levels.
Do we have a lot of those, do we have any of those tuition waivers in those classes that we're asking for a waiver of?
Damian is fourth in K. So we do have a kindergarten and fourth grade at Jose Damian.
A lot of the waivers, we do have some that are from at the high school also, that a lot of them want.
Sister Margarita, yes. One of the questions that we're having here is, we're asking for these classroom waivers. We're wondering if the tuition transfers are in the classes where we're asking for waivers. You know the grades in the...
Because most of the ones that are from the high school, they're all returning. Just about every one of them are returning students.
Okay, high school students, what about, we're actually, K-5 is where the waivers are.
K-4,
I apologize.
Sylvia, thank you.
That's true, Ms. Hill.
Yeah. I mean, you've got four students at Damian alone.
Bill Childress at
When did you guys get these numbers?
Today.
Didn't you open another pre-K section at JD? Another teacher, didn't you move one of them?
0.5.
Oh, okay.
But pre-K doesn't have the 22.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 0.5.
So look at, please, Damian.
Damian has a kinder, a first, a fourth, and a fifth waiver.
Mm-hmm. The fifth would not matter.
Right.
Okay. It'd be the K-1-4. Mm-hmm. Are they in class?
K is fine. First grade.
There's no waivers, kinder. Mm-hmm. Okay.
First grade, there is.
There's
two.
But then again, we have to look at what program they're in as well, because that's going to determine which class they would go into. As far as I know, we're going to the letting go or the doing. But we can look at that.
The student would determine what
program they're going into, whether it's monolingual or.
Yeah, but we're approving tonight too.
Sorry?
We're approving tonight.
Right, but the numbers very well might change before the full board.
Right. Today is just kind of to give.
Okay.
But we can look and
that impact from the Friday packet and Sister Margarita, can we kind of align? Here are the waivers we request and how they're affected by the tuition kids. So we can take a look at
it. I'm with her.
Right.
And then find the hot spots where they intersect.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Friday's packet. And then see if they're done
with the waivers.
Do you have a recommendation?
Say it again, please.
If they do affect the waivers, then that we shouldn't.
So waivers don't cost us any money. It's just a piece of paperwork we got to send in.
Right. It's just asking TA to allow us to have more than 22 students in We also have to determine, is it a reason unexpected growth or is it financial hardship? We have to have a good reason for it.
Ms. Rose, what we were saying is in the Friday packet, excuse me, we put together a chart that intersected the hot spots of where we're asking for a waiver and tuition kids. And find those hot spots for you and show you that in the Friday packet.
That would be really appropriate. And you know, I know that we get day money for the tuition waivers, but you know what? We've got the highest tax rates in the whole county. And that's not fair that all of us are paying the highest taxes in the county so that other kids can come here and just get their day money. We're not getting their tax effort whatsoever. So these tuition waivers, though they sound good on one hand, really, they're causing our taxpayers to be put out. And these people also don't vote for bond issues. They don't even live in our district.
So Sister Margarita, when we do find the hot spots where they intersect, we also need to see the justification and the reasoning, especially, I mean, in a separate page for those students and what's going on there.
Okay.
And how is it looking like in that?
You know, from what I'm looking at now, it looks okay. I was concerned about Jose Damian, but I looked at their numbers in fourth grade and where they're going into dual language, it's 19 and 16. You look at kindergarten and the numbers are fine there. At Childress, they renting temporarily, but
yeah, that one is totally understandable.
Yeah, so they're building the house.
Yeah,
so
that is
so
absolutely.
The only one I'm going to be looking at right now is in fifth grade down beyond. Fifth grade doesn't matter, and so I can tell you right now, at first grade, there's one child I have to look at, Dovenbacher, which is. That's the only one I'm looking at. And that's one, but we're putting in an FTE there anyways because of the growth, because there's no room for growth there. So what I can say, but we will absolutely follow through on the Friday packet, is that this is not going to affect, it would not affect the waiver. Now, because we're only doing, the rest of them, if you look, it's only the first page and the first two kids on the second page. Everyone else is secondary.
Yes, I see that.
And so, Damian is absolutely okay in fifth grade. So, I think we're absolutely fine, but I will give you a detailed report in the Friday packet.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
And, you know, I see this one, the kid has difficulties at his current school. Well, you know, do we really want problem kids? I've never seen 23 tuition waivers come before us before. This is not, that's not your class size, not germane to our class size waiver, but.
I think it's because they're trying to be honest. I mean.
Yeah, maybe.
I think.
It could be. Maybe they're scared.
I said I think it's because they're trying to be honest. Because I know that. There's more than this that don't have a waiver, you know what I mean, that don't belong to us. And there's also kids of ours that are in EPISD.
Absolutely, very good point. You know, these are the people that come in and are following the protocol and everything.
They're being honest.
And, you know, they're not saying I'm,
you know. Yeah, just running under the radar.
Yes.
Okay, so what do we do? Do you need us to go through by campus? How many waivers we're going to go through? Is that what you'd like?
And another thing that we can do is we can attach this.
Do we recommend it? And then what are we
going to
do though?
It will be updated just because the numbers have already changed since Friday and because kids are, it's that time of year. But.
Do you anticipate that we're going to add any FTEs and this will change it, the request?
The one I just told you is Damian, which we're already looking at that FTE increase. So when that comes down, the numbers in that first grade are going to go really low. If you look at Damian, which was interesting, with Damian, we put quite a few FTEs in there last year, but look at their numbers. You know, I was really looking at thinking that we're going to have all 16 and 17s at Damian. And if you look at that, we do have a few 16s, but most of them are, I mean, look at those numbers.
Yeah.
And we added quite a few FTEs last year. So I really thought this year it would be, we'd have much more of a relaxed year, but we're really looking at these numbers because that's how much the enrollment has increased. Because you look at third grade, that's why we're putting in
so
FTE.
You're asking for two first grade class waivers at Damian and one third grade at Davenport, and that's it?
Right. But it looks like we're going to need one at BCD too.
Fifth grade at Davenport, right?
We don't need fifth grade.
Fifth grade so.
It's only K
that has a 22-1 requirement.
Okay. But yeah, but.
But it looks like.
That's a lot.
That's an FTE, though. That's one of the FTEs that we've already
We
get. If you're looking at Davenport, are you looking at Davenport?
Yeah.
Sir Jeff? Yes. Ms. Coronado, on fifth grade at Davenport, that was one of the FTEs we talked about earlier.
Okay.
Yes, we went in, Dr. Murphy went into that classroom, and I went into that classroom.
But it looks like at BCE, we have some numbers that have gone over at the kindergarten.
In second grade and fourth grade.
So maybe
the kindergarten we think is going to be okay. We're going to give it another week.
If I had 28, if I was a teacher in fifth grade and had 28 let these, I would complain.
I would tear my hair out.
I swear I would too.
Mr. Corona, if you had 28, we would give you another.
But you're saying it doesn't apply to fifth grade?
No, it doesn't.
No,
but
it's K through
fourth. But we are adding an FTE there.
It's K through fourth.
You are good.
You are going to go in third.
And that's what we've already
asked you. So you'll give relief to that
20? We've already asked you that, yes. At kindergarten and at fifth grade, there will be an FTE added. That's what we're asking. And I do and believe... And then a waiver for third grade, I'm sorry. With Davenport, what happened is the past couple of years, Davenport's enrollment has been declining, so we have been taking from Davenport the XX teachers and placing them around. So it just, we've been doing such a good job trying to play that game that we have to add a few to Davenport right now.
And if we look at Garcia kindergarten, but it will still move the class. So we can move students to from Morgan's class to Ramos and get 23, 24, but that still requires 2 weeks.
Or 60.
So do you just give him another?
Give him Friday to see how this all is.
So possibly this recommendation could go up by Tuesday?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And we suggest keep on. Yeah, but we have to have the waiver in.
But October 3rd or 30 days after the status class of the month. Right. So in other words, in October, some students come into a class and bumps it over 22, we'll be here again asking for another waiver, but it will be 30 days if that student enters the classroom.
And that's why we keep a close eye on these the first 6 weeks of school.
And I know that y'all care, and I know that y'all know that smaller classes equal better learning, easier times for teachers. I sure would like for us to keep it small.
Jeez.
That would kind of.
Crazy.
Were they all for the
correct? I know, we've
done
that.
Okay.
So, are we recommending it to the full board?
Yes, yeah. So we're recommending it to the full board. Yes.
I'm in a silly mood today, guys.
He had so much chocolate today. Okay, next agenda item.
Purchase of career database software, Ms. Brigham and Ms. Araujo.
We recommend it to the full board. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, but now we have to do the dinner.
Okay. Item D, year two CTE goals, Ms. Araujo.
Chairperson and Dr. Murphy. I'm here to present to you our continuous from last year, a five-year plan. This is our second year of our CT five-year plan. And let's go ahead and start with the program initiatives. There's been some minor changes of the initiatives, but they still stand the same. Maybe perhaps an addition of the instructional materials and an increase of CT presence across the CISD. Let's go ahead and start with pathways to post-secondary transitions. And let it be known that some of these are going to be repetitive based on the initiatives that fall into the CTE program. Okay, And the first presentation is Pathways to Post-Secondary Transitions. The program of a CTE is provide more career clusters and on programs of study. Right now, we're in a situation where we are growing in our CTE programs. And for example, under the Information Technology Cluster, we're looking into employing another teacher to follow the career pathway strat of the computer maintenance program. So we're doing some research right now, and we do have a teacher right now in place for that. And hopefully that person can be moved to high school. That person has a certification in order to be able to provide that career strand. We're also doing research into the Arts and AV Technology and Communication Cluster. We would like to further pursue or expand that strand and be able to hire a teacher to teach the animation, or also as well as the audio-video projection. We need to expand that because we don't want to be in a standstill situation there. Under the Law, Public Safety, Corrections, and Security Cluster, we'd like to expand on the correctional services or the court systems. Hopefully, those are things that we'd like to have in place for next school year. We're looking into expanding there, and hopefully there's a possibility we can find the CTE teachers for that. And then this year we're implementing, which was not last year's five-year plan, the initiative plan, but we went ahead and implemented a marketing program, the sports and entertainment marketing program. We have one of our teachers that has the certification and was approved by TEA to teach the marketing sports and entertainment program. So that's
what
a new
POS mean?
Program study.
Okay.
It's a career cluster, and then,
understand.
Then it falls into program study. Then the next, continue on to the pathways to post-secondary decisions. We have the science, technology, engineering, mathematics, STEM cluster. We would like to, we provided a robotics and automation simulation in there. We would like to, and I failed to include there, but I would like to expand in that area because we're at a standstill there. Our instructor can only teach the concepts of engineering, robotics, and electronic, but we would like to expand in another program of study there. So we're going to do some research in that because it's hard to find teachers in those areas sometimes. Also, under the Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources Cluster, we've implemented this school year the Energy and Natural Resources Technology. This year it did make, so that's a kudos for under the Agriculture program. And also we've implemented the Food and Technology and Safety program. So that those two courses are being taught for the first year of this school year. Continuous monitoring on the water well for the agriculture cluster. Right now we're working, they've into the well, and it's going to require some more maintenance and some more funding into that in order to have that water well ready for agriculture, and that's geared towards our agriculture cluster.
Ms. Searles, have you noticed they've taken that well out? They're fixing it, but I mean, it's like completely.
Oh, okay, thank you.
It's completely removed. It's in process.
Awesome.
So we're going to continue to be working on that. We're going to provide some funding in there to take care of that well, to serve the needs of the agriculture culture. And then also under the El Paso ISD CCT program, Centers of Career Technical Education, we still continue to have strong relationships with them. We're still busing our students over there with, you know, for the programs of study that are not offered here in coming to ISD. And student internships from various programs of study offered. We have, because of our expansion, we have the ability to put these students into internships, and we have the funding in order for the students to come in and work on pay, and perhaps like under the technology, how about the IT person, IT people in that area. And research a possible cosmetology lab because of Perkins requiring these certifications. El Paso ISD is completely full in the CCT program, so it doesn't look too prosperous, even though we have a very strong relationship with that. But I've been told, Pat, have you considered having a cosmetology program here? Because, I mean, of course, you're going to serve first El Paso ISD, And even though we've had a very good relationship with them, but we need to start looking into the future to expand these areas because...
to do it ourselves?
It's just filling up over there. And we've been very fortunate with the law here, you know, and that's one of the areas that they cut us off right away. So the cosmetology is very strong right now in El Paso ISD. So that's something that we're going to look into. The next slide is a continuation of the transition of secondary pathways. Initiating student field trips to Texas universities for direct exposure to career degrees. As you well know, last year we had students going to Johnson & Wales in Denver, but we would like to extend the opportunity. As a matter of fact, last year when I went with the agriculture to Texas Tech for a competition, and the professor there, she wants us to visit Texas Tech up there in the agricultural program and to, you know, give an opportunity for the students to go to Texas Tech and might as well go there and visit the health science program and everything. So we would like to visit not only out of state but in state universities with the students. And then, of course, continue the field trip to hospitality tourism at Johnson & Wales. And as right now we speak, they're trying to get about students, 14 students to go to Johnson & Wales again in Colorado in November. Then we initiated the curriculum fair, so we're going to continue with the curriculum fair in January, as well as a career fair has been very successful. And as you well know, the career extravaganza, which was initiated by Dr. Murphy, and that was very successful last year. And we're going to continue that career extravaganza to offer, you know, showcase to the community of what programs we offer to our students here.
It was almost too successful. We really feel that that career fair and career extravaganza affected the enrollment at Northwest Early College because they got so excited going to the career extravaganza. So we are going to help, though. Northwest is going to have a booth themselves at the extravaganza this next time.
And then providing continue to earn industry certifications as mandated with the Perkins grant. So new this year, the Microsoft Office certification, as well as the emergency medical technician. That's a new program that we got. And then also, just really you know, we have an instructor in the morning, the zero period, as well as the 9th-10th period. So our program is two classes, which is neat. And then, of course, we continues with the CNA, physical therapy, pharmaceutical, and the floor design certifications. Mm-hmm. Under the CT student organizations, I mentioned, we have the marketing program, so we're going to implement the DECA student organization. Of course, we have the FBLA, BPA, FCCLA, and we're implementing this school year the DECA student organization. Implement the National Technical Honor Society for Northwest Early College High School. And so now we're going to have the National Technical Honor Society for both San Diego and Northwest together. Hopefully we can have the induction sometime either October or November for both schools. And last year was our first year that we provided a CTSO Leadership Workshop Day, and we're looking into that sometime this fall. It's a leadership among our own student organizations on etiquette and dress for success and stuff like that. And then they had some kind of a leadership team, and they went to Ms. Beam's farm, and they had some games there. Leadership team building leadership. And then Carrillo High School, we're going to be hosting the FFA, Texas State Floor Design Association. First time ever, we're going to be hosting it here, the test site, on March the 16th for our students. Of the past 2-3 years, we've taken the students to Dallas, and so it's been very expensive. And so I let them know, why can't we bring it over here to Texas? So they asked me if we can host it here and come to you. So I'm inviting all the districts to...
That's going to be the whole state's going to be here?
This is actually our region.
Oh, okay.
It's Texas. And Lubbock and Odessa, you know,
yes, I understand.
They have a choice either go to Dallas or come to El Paso. But for sure, our region here, you know, Coronado and Clint and Socorro, they have FFA. And so now they're coming, they're going to come over here to Camarillo to take the Texas certification for floor design. So we're going to host it. And then, of course, increase our scholarships in the various CTSOs. I serve in the CTAP board committee, and so a scholarship committee, so I told my teachers, you know, take advantage of me because I serve in the CTAP scholarship committee, so we have to build up our CTSOs as well as our student, our teacher organizations scholarships. Under the community and region partners, our CT advisory board, due to the fact that we've expanded our programs of study or clusters, so we're expanding also our advisory board from each cluster to have a representative. And the purpose of this is to review our program effectiveness of our CT programs, our clusters. They also help us out in our CTSO competition as judges and be able to increase our enrollment on new programs, you know, how effective are the, like example, we would like to build a cluster in the architectures to see how effective those clusters are in order to open up. You know, those are future opportunities, possibilities. The Achieve Texas Career Development, as part of the Achieve Texas, the middle school is a career exploration, and we would like to increase the program of studies in the middle school, even though we don't get funding, but our students have the opportunity to already receive their credits in the middle school. So these are some of the classes that have opened up in the middle school that are being offered or taught right now in the school year. And then, of course, with our Navia software program, continue working on our software program in the middle school, and that's our four-year plan. For the high school is a career concentration, and as Ms. Guerrero mentioned earlier, this is the first year that we've had a curriculum writing for our CT teachers, and they were very excited. And so we're going to provide some Saturday training because some of them were not able to participate due to vacation or they had other previous engagements. So we're trying to get all our CT teachers involved with curriculum writing. And then increase our programs and study career clusters, like I mentioned before, increasing in the areas of arts, information technology, and STEM. And then continue with our Navi and software order plan as required by DEA. Our college TIP prep, our dual credit and articulation digital programs with DPCC, we're on top of the articulation. We have an articulation package for the CT courses that are required to meet the requirements of DPCC or any other technical school. But this is our first time through the CT program that the EMT is considered a dual credit. So that's the first class dual credit for CTE because of our instructors. And then continuous yearly professional development conference on the career clusters targeted to occupations. That is a continuous thing with our instructors.
Yes.
Instructional professional development, teacher recruitment on various programs. So like I mentioned before, you know, we're looking into opening up, expanding our clusters and providing more programs of study. Professional development on career clusters program study, the SIOP, the SPED, in order to help out our PBMS, Kagan training, GT training, curriculum writing. Provide the administration stakeholders to attend CT conferences. Like for example, Hector Rodriguez, our internal auditor, I invited him to attend the College Tech Prep Conference held on August 22nd to give him an eye-opener of what CTE is all about. So I would like for him to continue or any other staff administrator to participate in our CTE conferences. Continuous NAVIAS training, attend various professional developments with the CTAP, the CTE, the TCEA, the Texas ASCD, the CTE Career Tech Vision 2012, the MBEA, and also provide CTAD Academic Integration Presentation Model for State Conference in Austin. This past summer, I went to the CTAD conference, and they're looking into integrating curriculum writing with CT and academic, and I told them, guess what? We're doing it already on here. So we would like to have administrators go and present to the CTAP and offer them, you know, show them what we have going on with CTE and the academics. And then, of course, as I mentioned, our MOS certification, our ESL endorsements for teacher certification, continued certification in order to help other students. under CTE funding, the state-weighted funding, because of our growth in CTE, I would like to have a help of the coordinator, a clerk, to assist the coordinator. And then through our CTE, 40% administrative cost, help out our elementary and middle schools in order to bring down the career explorations to our middle school, elementary middle school, provide middle school CTE integration and elementary career awareness. That's the purpose of the opportunity. We can use our 40% administrative cost. Target for enhancement, and also target enhancement for culinary arts classroom. We need to continue growing in the culinary arts program. And then continue with our budget deadlines as provided by the finance department. Under the CT technology, continuous update on our CT website, and I hope you all have the opportunity to visit the CT website. And we would like to link in the packet that you just approved that you're going to take to the board and various resources in our CTE website. And we're going to continue updating our CTE website for our students as well as our community. Maintain updates on the CTE programs of study, provide technology updates on our equipment continuously, provide upgrade technology equipment, upgrade the health science and forensic science program of study, the Noggin's four-year plan software, initiate a business etiquette curriculum software for all programs of study, all grade levels. So, agriculture, energy resources classroom upgrades, and agriculture technology classroom upgrades. This is where we would like to continuous of be improving our technology. And as I mentioned before, our facilities, we need to continue working on our CT, our culinary arts, the cafe setup equipment, the bakery, the stoves. Mr. Simpson, our instructor, would like to expand on the bakery portion of it. And then we would like to build for the 40% of building our student restrooms, because it's been an inconvenience, the students coming out and visiting the restrooms of the central office. So,
sure. I have a question, Ms. Gonzalez. Would it be possible under facilities, this is our five-year plan,
yes,
to put possibly, you know how we farm, we just heard how we're farming our kids out to El Paso to do cosmetology,
plumbing.
Okay, whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. It may be in our five-year plan. We have
the center.
Uh-huh. Our own center. And we're spending a good amount. It's a plan. It's not in concrete. Dr. Murphy, don't have a bad face.
It is Dr. Murphy.
But that, you know, it's a five-year projection that we really, we value this program. And I know that we spend, I saw last month in the warrant list, we spend $40,000 just sending our children to El Paso for the automotive. I don't know what else, that's just what's coming to mind.
Automotive, they're enrolling in automotive, basically automotive and cosmetology.
And we spend a lot of money doing that. And it would seem that...
It's about $1,800 per student.
Yeah. That...
Great.
Can we add that?
Well, not a lot of these things are year two. That would be years four or five.
Somewhere. The projection, the vision, the...
Well, we're adding. The big thing is adding these POSs, these programs of studies. And we've added, what, about a dozen POSs in the last 2 years?
Yes, it's in my last presentation. Okay. I may continue to knowledge.
But so those are just additional POSs, the cosmetology, the automotive, the plumbing, those programs that they offer at CCTE with all that specialized equipment over there. I do know they just opened the new Clint High School with the cosmetology lab. And, you know.
Spas are where it's at, yeah. Dr.
I'm not arguing. It's just all money.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you have to have a vision somewhere along the line. You know, maybe it happens, and
we can put it on the plan.
Yeah, and it can. Yeah, I mean, somehow it has to start.
It is part of my
it will be part of my five-year looking at all this stuff. Unfortunately, with CTE, it's for $1,800 per child. It's $40,000 a year we spend, and we're going to spend hundreds of thousands. So that's why I put it on a projection for a five-year plan, because it's facilities. It's we're limited in facilities.
We are.
So
they need their own place.
Absolutely. And so but it's very cost prohibitive to put in. So that's why we're looking at even some of the, that's why you see some of the stuff we're putting in. We're looking at the five-year plan also, even to just look at.
But you would even loosen up classrooms at the high school that would cause you to have more room there.
Oh, and we're looking at all that.
Yeah. I would like if your committee would recommend we have a facility put in the plan, our own facility. You know, we've asked for a career, help me, Sergio. No, the diploma.
Oh, yeah, the
alternate
career. Well, we've asked the
certification plan.
Resolution.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of works up and work up to where we're really getting to be our own place, maybe.
Well, I think more than just a facility for that part, maybe a comprehensive plan to what our long-term career technology center would entail. Not just, you know, but
we
could service our own kids instead of sending them out.
Yeah. And maybe we could draw some Anthony kids to us.
Yes, because they are giving us so potential to CCTE.
Uh-huh.
Well, if things go right with the land over here with the PSB, where we might be able to, it looks like because of the access to that, we might be able to do that now to move administration over there. We could either do something here, or maybe even when we do our next bond issue, get the new high school that we're going to plan for has also funding for another technology center, or maybe turn one of their other buildings into a technology center and move whatever we have there into another.
Whatever, just that we would put it as one of our, on our five-year plan, that we have our own center.
Yeah, we ought to. Mm-hmm.
We can deal with the details later, just the big picture.
And one of the ones that would make sense is either this building or CMS, and then build CMS an actual real middle school.
Continuing on with my presentation, here is the CT instructional materials and basically textbooks for new courses, because of, you know, we're opening up new courses. So right now we are buying new textbooks, upgrading our 2010 Office, Microsoft Office software, the Gale Library software, CMDH online curriculum to include the course of study, Adobe software, produced pharmaceutical contract, certified course certification, instructional technology, and classroom furniture. And some of our furniture was sent off to our middle schools since we opened up more CT programs over there that were in need of furniture. CT work in progress, initiate the 10-period new waiver for the next 3 years. We need to hire, this is our last year with our waiver, and so we need to hire Mr. Alan Long. Hopefully he's able to come back and do an audit of the CT 3-year waiver and then initiate new waiver for the school year. Increase our CT personnel at middle school on the following: Principals of Arts and AV Technology, Finance Cluster, Money Matters, Principals of Human Services, Principals of Business Marketing Administration, Information Technology, and Tech Systems. These are the programs that we've expanded in the middle school as a work in progress. The last initiative is increase the CT presence across the CISD. Since I've been here in 2006, there was 8 teachers on the CT enrolled HR contract, working on Galileo, and as of 2012, 18 teachers. And middle school, that we had 4 teachers. Now we have 9 teachers at Northwest Early College High School. We have 1 teacher, a total of 28 teachers within the past 7 years. Under the state mandate, 16 career clusters. And in 2006, we started with 5 career clusters. as of 2012, 12 career clusters. We basically have all 16 career clusters because some of them are at CCTE, so we are using all 16 career clusters. 12 of them are here in BYSD. Which means that from 2006, we have 15 CTE courses. We've gone up to 61 CTE courses.
2006 to 2012, 15 to 61 classes.
Sir.
Courses.
Courses. Yes, sir. And within 2013, we're forward projecting the goal for new pre-K through the 8th grade, so we're looking into expanding. And then our process, we're working with under $1 million budget, so the enrollment, I mean, the budget has increased due to the enrollment, and of course it went up because of our 10 period of waiver. And the following were implemented through CTE, of course our career fair, we're in the fourth year. We're in our third year of our career fair, and of course our extravaganza, which will follow again next year. And this concludes my presentation for this year's CTE plan. If you have any questions.
Brain's looking good.
Any questions? No? Okay. Thank you.
Good job. I remember how stressed you were at this time last year during this. You've become a pro at it.
Thank you.
Agenda item, please.
Item E, review of FP local student fees, fines, and charges. Presenter, Ms. Anita.
Good evening, Chairperson Gonzalez, committee members, Dr. Murphy. You were provided with a revised FP local policy. This was the need to revise the policy was as a result of inquiries or concerns brought forth at different campuses based on our uniform policy and procedures that we currently have. And so the recommendation after meeting with several campus principals as well as the internal auditor, the recommendations were made that we revise our policies to reflect what our current practices. And in order to revise policy FP, I was also in need, I also found myself needing to revise policy FNCA, which is student conduct dress code. And so they kind of go hand in hand. The meat of the information is basically on policy FNCA, which is the second or the next item on the agenda. Is it okay if I discuss them both? Or?
Sure.
And so,
hold on a second. Carlos, is that another agenda item?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read that agenda item to me.
Review of FNCA local student conduct dress code presenter, Ms. Anita.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
If you have FNCA in front of you, you'll note that the large majority of the half, the first half of the first page and the second page are in blue, and it's the information we added. I did review several school districts to see and compare ourselves as to what they have and what we have in place. And basically, I added the uniform path policy, which we didn't have. I will inform you that we have both middle schools that currently are enforcing a uniform policy, and then three of our elementary campuses currently have a uniform policy in place. What we also did is we indicated the implementation process for if in the event that are any of the two remaining elementary campuses were to decide to implement a uniform policy, they follow the guidance provided here as well. Basically, it's a solicitation of input from community members through an open public meeting, and then basically providing supporting documentation that is reviewed through the Associate Superintendent's Office, Superintendent's Cabinet, and Superintendent, and then with ultimate approval going to the Board of Trustees. If we go to page 2 of FNCA, we have the section titled Financial Assistance. And basically, it was determined, and this is basically a current practice that our campuses have without actually having a formal policy in place. So this is just formalizing the procedure in which each school is to determine the criteria to identify students in need of financial assistance with uniforms, determine the extent of financial assistance. Just for example, we have a couple of schools that will issue 3 brand new uniform shirts, and then they have a collection of exiting eighth graders. That was one of the examples. Exiting eighth graders, they have an activity of dance where their admission in is to give a good t-shirt, a uniform t-shirt, and then it's admission to the dance. So they have an inventory of shirts that they are able to help students with. And so that those are the kinds of different criteria that they establish and how many they actually give. They also would designate a staff member to provide assistance within, you know, so the principal would designate who at the campus would help them out initially. With the actual number 4 is the important one that was not officially a standardized form across the board. And so basically number 4 says we will ensure that parents get the assistance needed through consultation with the actual principal. And if you see attached, I have an application of waiver or fees. And this can be used in the event the district has any other fees that are implemented in the future, instrumental fees or any other fee that, you know, we may have within the district.
Is that a new form?
Yes, it is. It was created to have a standard form across the board that every school district would use, I mean, every campus could follow. So, as you can see, number 5 says that the campus shall compile and maintain a list of community agencies. What I also found is we have 2 of the campuses, AMS and BCE, that actually have fundraising activity, the sale of uniform shirts, while all the other campuses basically have vendors that come in and do the sales for them. The discussion or the information provided was those that are having the fundraising activities make an allotment of shirts, new shirts to fund for those that need to be given out with financial assistance needs. The campuses that use vendors that come and sell, basically those vendors have agreed to make donations to those students. And so we have met the need of the students that may, you know, require assistance. And so then we do have a compliance section where basically we say, you know, there is a grace period when you go into a mandatory uniform policy of how much you need to, you know, give the students time to prepare for the policy or adherence. And once the uniform policy is in full force, they do have rules and guidelines based on their student code of conduct as to, you know, if they have consequences for not adhering to the policy. So having reviewed and added to FNCA, we go to FP Local now. And under FP Local, I added the area where it says Uniform Policy Financial Assistance, which is the blue. And basically, it's the same information I provided in FNCA, but now it gives that form. The form that was created is the reliable proof that the parents will provide us and not requiring any additional, you know, salary proof or any other, you know, official documentation that to prove that they need the financial assistance. Basically, they fill out the form, and under the body of the reason, you know, they employed, you know, whatever circumstances they're facing that is requiring that they seek assistance from the district for uniforms. And so that's. That's basically the revisions.
Any questions? Mm-hmm. We recommend both agenda items to the full
for first reading.
First reading.
Good job, Martha.
Next agenda item.
Item G, inter-district student transfer waivers, Ms. Armendariz.
Good evening. Before you, you have the list. As discussed a little bit earlier, we can bring a spreadsheet that would identify, like for example, on page 2, all the students who, all the whole list are returning students, so they've been with us for a good while. On page 3, all are returning except for Second to the bottom, Rosalind Gomez, she's first time. But other than that, they have been with us, all the students. The little ones that we just spoke a little bit about earlier, we can bring you the spreadsheet and how that also matches with the numbers, the cross reference.
I have a question. On the two children that want to go to Childress, the parent is indicating the child has had difficulties at his current school. Is it the child or is it the school? Are we just getting a problem is what I'm asking?
No. I spoke with the mom and it's basically, apparently they were having difficulties also within, you know, family issues themselves of taking care of these children. And so this is why the mom decided to bring them over here. And also a part of it was because they're right in, they're from Anthony, Texas, this family.
Okay. And I have another question. Under the first child under the Caniteo High School recommended students, I don't understand what that means. Our child care is in the Caniteo.
That family has, that child has moved back to West Academy. That's the only one that.
Okay, so that went away.
That is across that.
Okay.
And that happened as of today. She called us when we got in touch with her.
That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, any questions?
And we'll have for the Friday packet the cross referencing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Nadez, can you also provide us how long they've been with us in the district?
Sure.
Please?
Yeah, they've got that ways to get the history.
Okay.
Most of them are in Chinese school.
Okay. And the last agenda item, please.
Community input.
Okay, that brings us to agenda. It is 9:20. Thank you very much.
Good job.
Lauren, look at your picture. In the
Are you in the art class?
Yes.
You are being bad tonight.
How's everyone tonight?
How are you?
Pretty good.
This is hysterical.
How's it going, sir?
What are you doing? What are you doing with a neuron in your head?
What do you mean by that?
You're resting another one.